1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Dan Revive, live in Washington, where the surveillance program aimed against terrorism gets a surprising endorsement from Lanny Davis, the only Democrat on a five-member oversight panel that got a long-delayed briefing on the phone call and email intercepts.
I was somewhat astonished at the care and concern from the standpoint of privacy and civil liberties values that each individual who briefed us expressed and then proved they were constantly concerned about.
Davis tells CBS News he had had doubts, and now the Justice Department Inspector General has been given security clearance to check how the department uses those intercepts if they turn out unconnected with terrorism. At the American Civil Liberties Union, Carolyn Fredrickson.
The FBI has had a history of engaging in surveillance for political purposes, for harassment.
I'm Dan Revive, live in Washington with more CBS News. Harley Carnes.
The headline blared, 50 shots fired. Some in New York City are saying trigger-happy cops filled a car with lead in a severe overreaction to the situation. New York Police Commissioner Ray Kelly says undercover officers in that bar over the weekend had not had too much to drink.
I can tell you that the one undercover officer that we spoke to states that he did have two drinks, two beers in the bar.
And that's within the guidelines for undercover work. Kelly says investigators are looking into what's known as contagious firing as a possible cause for the expending of so many rounds. Three men in the car, all were hit. One is dead, two injured. Consensus, officially at least of the moment, is the sectarian trouble in Iraq is not yet a civil war. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan.
Given the developments on the ground, unless something is done drastically and urgently to arrest the deteriorating situation, we could be there. And in fact, we are almost there.
The Iraqi government and the White House concur. The military coalition in Iraq says given enough support, the Iraqi government can still get a handle on things and govern. A fire looks suspicious at a group home for the elderly and the mentally ill in Anderson, Missouri. Governor Matt Blunt.
The fire department was called out on Saturday to deal with another fire, and they're exploring whether or not that impacted or had anything to do with the fire that occurred Sunday night.
10 people died in that blaze. U.S. Supreme Court refused to take the case, which changes nothing in the debate over school vouchers. CBS's Barry Bagnato.
Conservatives who favor the use of publicly funded vouchers for religious schools wanted the Supreme Court to take this case. They were hoping for a blanket statement that this practice is constitutional. Instead, Maine and other states can continue to exempt religious schools from programs that provide students public money for private education.
The High Court could, of course, take up the voucher issue at some future date. On Wall Street, the Dow closed down about 154 points today, NASDAQ off 54 points. This is CBS News.
You, playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team, wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams, they can be strange and magical. But if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other. Approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence. So you can get to sleep. And maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Lubox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if your insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1, CRN Prevention Magazine, or visit Rosarum.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
Perfect for the deadhead in your family for Christmas.
From musical icons to trivia challenge, Grateful Dead the Game is the brainchild of Bob Moog, president of University Games based in San Francisco.
We've tried to design something that's for people who are hardcore deadheads, but also for people who just grew up in the 60s.
You move your game piece around the board, answering trivia questions and collecting concert tickets along the way.
The person at the end of the game who has the most tickets wins the game, which makes sense because the people who are considered the most hardcore deadheads are the people who attended the most concerts.
Psychedelic substances not included. In San Francisco, Mark Selig, KCBS.
More than mere mammalian identity, scientists have another reason to call the whale a cousin. Humpback whales have a type of brain cell only found in humans, great apes, and dolphins. U.S. researchers say it's an indication, at least, that whales are smarter than we think. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
New rule, stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the 3 blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Edition of Enid Live. It is Monday, and Monday is the day when you have most heart attacks is on Monday, and when you start to add up your spending because you shopped on Black Friday, you could get into the heart attack sweet states a little early this year. Let me give you the phone numbers. First of all, I'm yours until 7 o'clock, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. You can always join the conversation. It is always toll-free if you're in the 916 area code. The number is 349-1320, and if you're not, 866-626-1320. And you can email me, Enid at kctc.com. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. And I want to know how your Thanksgiving was. Mine was really wonderful, actually. I have a confession to make. I was, your goddess here is not used to having much time off. And I think what happens is if you're leading a really busy life, remember that old cliche, if you want something done, ask a busy person to do it. Well, when you're leading a really busy life, you just figure, you're at a high adrenaline level and you can manage to squirrel in little assignments and so on and get stuff done. And then when you have a day off, you just completely crash. And I was sort of moving slowly, and I thought, why did I, I'd rather just not do anything. And I was supposed to drive to the city and have Thanksgiving with friends, and they were friends of friends, and I thought, I really could just stay here and get a lot done, and wow. But, it was wonderful. It was completely wonderful. Of course, it took me in another direction, and I didn't get very much done at all, but I had a great time, and it's great to meet friends of friends, and it was lovely, and I don't think any of us ate too much, but, well, they did pass around the chocolate afterward, after dinner, and well, I am helpless in the face of a couple of things, chocolate and kettle corn, which to me is a crack cocaine of popcorn, but fortunately they didn't offer any of that. Kettle corn, a delivery system for sugar and salt and a little bit of grease, too. It signals this is the official opening of the holiday season. And what we hear now at a time that's supposed to be so spiritual is what the sales are. Walmart's a little bit down. Everybody lining up for these bargains on Black Friday. Did anybody do that? Because in reading about it afterward, I think you got to be nuts to do it. And I have to tell you, I was down in Union Square on Friday. It was lovely. I have a friend who lives not too far, so I didn't have to hassle the parking. I could just park there and walk down to Union Square. And it was really fun. It was fun to just sit in the cafe in Union Square and watch people and have the best chocolate in the world. They have a really good chocolate in that cafe. Oh, it's awfully rich and awfully lush and awfully yummy. In any event, but people were lining up at ridiculous hours. Some had been there for maybe a day or more, camping out to get stuff. And when they tell you that they have limited, what they do is they deeply discount certain items, and a lot of it is electronics, some of it anyway. And they tell you that they have limited quantities. Well, the limited quantities are highly limited indeed. You can be the second person up and you already miss the limited quantity because maybe they only have one of it or two, or in some cases I read two or three of the items. And so it's a loss leader to get you in. And if I were you and I had been in line for all these hours to get this thing, and I was practically at the head of the line, and they were sold out on it already, then I think where is disclosure? Where's full disclosure? And where's truth in selling? And I would be mad at that retailer, and I wouldn't give them any business. That's how I would do it. But I'm curious to know whether any of you did that. You are braver than I, because I think whatever you save, if you can actually get the item that was advertised at that low price, you have more than made up for in all the time and hassle that you took away from Thanksgiving, and you stood in line, and you know, if you're 20-something or 18-something and you're hoping to get a PlayStation 3 and putting it on eBay to sell it for multiples of what you paid for it, maybe I can understand that a little bit better. But in any event, my Thanksgiving was wonderful. A lot of people who had vegetarian Thanksgivings were up to their eyeballs in tofurkey. But the rest of us were eating turkey and trying very hard not to remember what I told you about how the poor things can't even stand up, and the turkey farms and all that other stuff. Well, we just ignore that on Thanksgiving. But this now is, we are in open season, and it's going to be a race to the finish for the holidays, a spiritual time of year that measures its progress in terms of sales. So this is where the spiritual and the material are dancing very deeply into each other's arms. And I'd be very curious to know how your Thanksgiving was and what you're planning for the holidays. And let me just share a kind of a phenomenon with you, because it's apropos of now Thanksgiving gone, but we'll be eating more as we will. You know, what do they say? Freshman 15, when you gain 15 pounds as a college freshman. Well, what do they say? Holiday 5? They think everybody gains on average about 5 pounds during the holiday season. So I tell you this because you want to prepare yourself, even though there's never any preparation for it. But for the big dinner, last Thursday, maybe a plump bird stuffed with, a wonderful stuffing and served with giblet, and stuffed with Stephanie and served with giblet civil, accompanied by roast Londons, a bowl of performs with pearl onions and marshmallow-topped microscopes, and for dessert, city a la mode, followed by a confession. Aren't these odd descriptions? Well, it turns out that there is a disease, and it is called synesthesia. It is a rare condition that runs in families. It's kind of joined senses, and people see letters or numbers or musical notes as colors. And then there's an even rarer variation, and that is people can involuntarily taste words. It isn't only that we are tasting what is before us on Thanksgiving dinner, but there are actually people who can involuntarily, when they say a word, maybe when they even think it, they taste the words. And they taste the words when they hear them or even try to recall them. And when they do MRIs on these people, it turns out that these people are not faking. The correct words light up taste regions of their brains, and when they're given a surprise test a year later, they taste the same foods on hearing the words again. Now, I don't know if all words will light up the taste part of their brain, but some of them do. For example, the word mince makes one person taste mincemeat, but so do rhymes like prince. Words with a soft G, as in Roger or Edge, make that person taste sausage. But another subject, hearing the word castanets, tastes tuna fish. Another can taste only proper names. John is his cornbread. William is his potatoes. Nobody knows why this is, but it's something to do with joined senses. I say this because it's sort of odd, a Thanksgiving phenomenon. And now we are getting to the time of the year when people are talking about gifts and gifting and recycling gifts and whether or not it's ever appropriate to recycle a gift. And if you do recycle a gift, you want to be sure that you don't include the card that came to you from the person who gave it to you in the first place as you are regifting it for the person that you are sending it off to. So recycling gifts, we'll talk about that as we continue, because the question is it ever right to do? Is it a wrong thing to do? Is it the right thing? I don't think there's anything wrong with it. What's wrong with recycling a gift? If you didn't use it, if it's brand new, it could just as easily have come from the store, except that it made a temporary stop in your house and in your regifting closet. So if it's you think it's appropriate, if it's not just a junky thing, it's like to satisfy the obligation, and there's no... you think it'll be as unpopular with the person you're giving it to as it was with you, that's a different thing. Remember that phrase that the fragrance lingers in the hand that gives the rose. So we're talking about a time of gifts as we are now officially in the holiday season. And so the talk turns to whether or not it's ever appropriate to recycle a gift. I think it's appropriate. It's a nice form of recycling. If you didn't use the gift, well, if you did use it and you said to somebody, look, this is was mine, and if you'd like to have it, you can have it. That's one sort of a gift. But if you're palming it off as a new gift, it should be a new gift. And if it happened that it made a stop in your closet before you sent it on to a more final resting place, so what? What's the big deal about that? Better than it be wasted. And my philosophy on the gifts that you receive that are absolutely not appropriate for anybody that you know in this world is to find a home for them. You know, that velvet painting of John F. Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King and Abraham Lincoln, you know, if it doesn't go with your decor, donate it someplace. Somebody will like it. There is somebody that that will work for. And that lava lamp, which was not meant to be ironic when you received it, if you don't have a sense of irony, there is somebody who will appreciate it. And the more you get rid of this stuff, the more it opens the door to the things that you really do want in life. So that thought that I think is a good way to begin the official start of the holiday season. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I want to talk about politics. I want to talk about Arnold. He's been all over the place. You know, Robert Altman died just before the holidays. And it turns out that Schwartzy, our very own governor, offered his condolences to the family of Robert Altman because he had actually had a small part in Altman's film, The Long Goodbye. It was a 1973 film. It was an uncredited part. Schwartzy mentioned in his statement that he worked with Altman on The Long Goodbye. It was a 1973 film in which Schwartzy plays a hoodlum who tries to shake down Detective Philip Marlowe. And I think that Philip Marlowe is played by Elliot Gould in that film, but you can correct me if that's not right. In the movie, Marlowe threatens to call Governor Ronald Reagan when police don't believe his story. Schwartzy is uncredited in the role. It was only his second appearance in a major film after his debut in Hercules in New York. So Schwartzy, condolences to the Altman family. He was on TV over the weekend, Meet the Press, Schwartzy was. And it resulted in more questions than answers. He was talking about the anti-global warming rhetoric of Senator James Inhofe, who is a Republican from Oklahoma, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. He said Schwartzy described his anti-global warming stance as from the Stone Age and backwards. Host Tim Russert failed to follow up on a question about Republican credibility on global warming, which Schwartzy failed to answer anyhow. Schwartzy is calling for health care for every uninsured Californian and declares he would eliminate the state's structural budget deficit in his second term, all without tax increases. Arnold is not ruling out a run for the U.S. Senate. He says one of his top concerns of his second term will be reform of the state's festering prison system, for which he did nothing in his first term, by the way. Didn't do a thing. And when he was forced to present what the plan would be, there was some special session, and he had no plan. He had nothing at all. But he's saying, because, you know, if you're an actor, you can say anything, and eventually somebody's going to write a script for you, and you can be that person. And Schwartzy has been in the miraculous position, I think, of what the New Age has been preaching forever, and that is if you can see it, if you can think it, you can be it. So for a long time, he's been thinking he should be the governor, and, you know, he made it happen. The waters parted, and he is the governor now for a second term and a full term. So he says one of his top concerns for the second term will be reform of the state's festering prison system. He didn't do anything about it. In his first term, he had no real plan. When he was forced to have a plan, this will be amazing to watch. So now, here's what he's promising. He's promising health care for every uninsured Californian. He is declaring that he is going to eliminate California's structural budget deficit in his second term. I mean, these are very endemic problems to California. He's not running out a run for the U.S. Senate. We're not surprised about that because we think he's eyeballing Barbara Boxer's seat. And he says one of the top concerns will be reform of the state's festering prison system. Well, it's going to be a top concern, but is he actually going to do anything about it? You know, you can be concerned all you want. You can be concerned. You can, you know, you worry, little beads of perspiration form on your forehead, just like they do when you're in a debate with Phil Angelides. You're just so worried, but then you don't do anything about it. Schwartz, he said on Meet the Press, he says, I'm a moderate. He says he's not going to run for president. Well, guess what? He is precluded for the moment because he wasn't born in this country. I think that it will never happen in my lifetime. I think that it's something that the people of America can debate over in the future, and this is a debate worth happening. You know, let the debate go on, but I mean, it's not for me. I'm happy where I am. I'm happy to be a public servant and to serve the people of California. Well, if he's a public servant, let him bring me a drink. Schwartzy, bring me a drink if you're a servant. Schwartzy talks about solar power. And he's not conservative, he's saying. So anyway, that's Schwartzy. So he's promising everything, but he's not saying how he's going to do it. It's nice to say it. And remember, if you'll recall, I said that Phil Angelides could get some serious traction for himself if he would promise some kind of universal health care for most of us or people who are uninsured. And it didn't happen. He went as far as mentioning it for children, and then he really didn't step on it all that hard or consistently. And then the polling showed that only about 4% of Californians were even interested in the subject. I find that poll information hard to swallow, because I think a lot of people would be interested in it. What are your thoughts about that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So here it is. Schwartzy said for the first time Sunday on Meet the Press that the goal of his health care reform package includes extending coverage to all 7 million uninsured Californians. He ruled out the possibility of raising taxes to pay for health care expansion and said the cost of services must be brought down. So does he mean that we're going to have higher copays? Does he mean that you're going to get less for what you pay? Or is he going to really restructure this and say adios to some of the insurance companies as the middleman and do what Sheila Kuehl has said would be much more workable? The state of California would save $8 billion if we did this. And we would be insured, those of us who don't have insurance. We would all have health insurance. It would be sort of like the single-payer universal system that Canada has. So, I mean, I'm lucky enough to have it. A lot of you are lucky enough to have it. But every year, the copays get higher. The deductibles get higher. Because the costs are going up, and where CalPERS, for example, could have used its mighty bulk to keep some of those costs down, I'm not so sure they did. So here is Schwartzy. He's saying there's going to be no new taxes. Read my lips. No new taxes. But he's saying he's going to provide this for the state's uninsured. How he's going to do this, I don't know. His comments represent a significant advance in expectations for his health care initiative that began in earnest only a few months ago and so far remain largely a work in progress. This is the year where Democrats and Republicans are going to work together to fix our health care problem, Schwartzy said. First of all, we've got to bring down the health care costs. We have to make it more affordable to provide health care. And number two, we have got to insure everybody. We have 6.7 million people who are uninsured, and we are working right now on various ideas, and we are going to bring those ideas together, and I'm going to present them in my State of the State address. After opposing almost every major effort to expand health care coverage during his first 3 years in office, Schwartzy has made overhauling the existing system a priority for his next term. Administration officials have been meeting behind closed doors since midsummer to consider ideas, and they say the governor has yet to make any decision about specifics. He vetoed a bill this fall intended to create a state-run universal health care system, saying government should not be the one running medical services. What do you think? Is he serious about this? Is this going to catch on? Would you be interested in it? Is this something that speaks to you? 349-1320, or will it be something that looks like the illusion of health care? But in fact, you've got a high deductible. In fact, there's a big copay. In fact, it covers you on the eighth Tuesday of the month in case you should get sick on that day. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Good to be back, Enid. Had a great holiday weekend, didn't you?
I did. It was lovely.
It was. It was really nice, and I just love the rain. Smells nice out there. But
but
you know there was going to be a but. tonight, they say freezing temperatures. And, you know, when there is rain and there's freezing temperatures, well, there's usually ice. And black ice in the state of California, you can slide all over the place. And you need to be extremely careful, especially after about 10, 11 o'clock tonight. It looks like that's the way it's going to be. Some more showers on through the next couple of days and a lot of fog by Wednesday and Thursday. Now, tonight, lows right around 27, maybe 30 in that freezing zone. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Love Channel.
It's Enid Live, doing full frontal talk radio. AM 1320, Sacramento's Love Channel.
I can't wait to hear the rest of the show.
Everybody.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it,
Miss Romney,
what drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly. Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's okay.
On the Monday, post-Thanksgiving edition of Enid Live, we are officially in the Christmas season. We'll be talking more about that. We're talking about Schwartzy. He went on to meet the press yesterday. He's promising health care for anybody who's not insured. But the bee is warning, and he's promising it without raising taxes. So has he got a juicy issue? Remember, the polling during the election said that only 4% of Californians are even interested in the subject of health care and insurance. I can't believe it's that low. I really think everybody's interested in, even though those of us us who have it. You know, the deductibles keep getting higher, the copays keep getting higher, the limits keep getting lower, and they're trying to manage the skyrocketing healthcare costs so that it's expensive, and we are not getting, it's not an efficient delivery system because it's getting more and more expensive, even if you have it. And you're getting less and less for it, and then there are all these hidden charges that wind up making the big difference, even if you have a job, between being financially afloat and not. And we now have a very tough bankruptcy law, so people are often not only one paycheck away from all kinds of bad things happening, but also if they happen to get sick, that can just knock you, right? Even if you have a job, even if you have insurance, you can really be, your whole world can fall apart financially. 349-1320. So he's going to do this without raising any taxes. So here's what the B has to say, that he's got this task form, but he says, but the B says in its editorial today, beware of any proposal that leaves the same expensive, dysfunctional system intact. In California, the legislature has approved various laws to define benefits offered by the state's HMOs. HMOs must cover a basic package of mental health benefits, for example, as well as contraceptives for women. Bulimia is a covered benefit, so is a maternity benefit. The legislature passed dozens of new mandates during the emergence of HMOs. At the time, HMOs were competing with one another, squeezing hospitals and doctors, and reducing premiums for Californians. But that is no longer the case. The big problem now is that there is no competition on this scale in the system. The business community never liked the way the legislature under Gray Davis reacted to HMOs' growing dominance by expanding lists of ailments and conditions HMOs have to cover. Now with Schwartzy in office, remember, Schwartzy likes corporations, and inclined to listen, business groups are seeking a sympathetic ear. The whole notion of insurance mandates deserves to be an open game. So it would be fine to let the insurers, hospitals, and doctors who vigorously compete with one another adjust the coverage packages for consumers, but absent competition, shrinking a coverage package amounts to increasing costs to consumers. So we'll see what he does. This is what he's saying. I don't know how they're going to package cow pies and make it look like they're giving us something. We will see, but this is what Schwartzy is proposing. And what are your thoughts about it? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. He's going to do everything. He's going to restructure the debt. He's going to have a plan to solve our very prison crisis. It's in meltdown. So the only plan he's done so far is to ship a couple of thousand prisoners to some, you know, he's outsourcing them to other states. The New York Times had, they do a Q&A every week in the Sunday magazine. Here's Jerry Brown, and the headline is The Comeback Kid. The former governor and new attorney general of California talks about Schwartzy following in his father's political footsteps and finally figuring out relationships. So let me share this with you because it's pure Jerry Brown, and this is why we love him. So here's the question. Did Governor Schwarzenegger call to congratulate you on your victory as California's new attorney general? Jerry Brown is asked. No, Jerry answers. No, he hasn't called me yet, but he's busy. I don't stand on ceremony. I'll be up in Sacramento, and I'll go in. They're very hospitable at the governor's office. As a Democrat accustomed to being in charge, the question, you're the mayor of Oakland as well as a former two-term governor of California. How do you feel about having to answer to a Republican governor? And Jerry answers, you don't answer to a governor. The attorney general is autonomous. But isn't Schwartzy over you? No, Jerry Brown answers. The attorney general reports only to the people and to his conscience. Either way, the question goes, I admire you for being flexible and taking whatever position is available. Jerry answers, that's why my 3.5 years of Jesuit training were helpful. The 12th rule is to let him in all things seek his greater mortification and continuing abnegation. Question, how is being Attorney General of the State of California a form of mortification? Jerry answers, well, that means you go against yourself. There's a guy named Augie Coppola, Francis Coppola's older brother, and you know what he said to me? He said, your most important role is Governor Emeritus. Meaning what exactly is the question? Well, Jerry answers, I never knew exactly what he meant, but I keep thinking about it. See, this is why no politician answers questions this way, but Jerry Brown. On a national level, question, how do you think the Democratic victory in Congress will shape events in Iraq? Jerry Brown answers, it's possible that President Bush will learn from this and collaborate with the Congress. In fact, that is the essence of an effective politician, to shift ground when the ground he's on is collapsing under him. Question, you and the president each came to hold the same jobs that your fathers did after watching them suffer electoral defeats. Jerry Brown answers, the defeat of your father is very much burned into your imagination as you contemplate your own political steps. I think that label, the father was called a wimp, you know, H.W. I definitely think George W. wanted to avoid that image at all costs. Question. You're an old friend of Nancy Pelosi, the new Speaker of the House, who also comes from a political dynasty. Question. She obviously identified with her father. I think when you grow up in the House of Mayors, her father was the mayor of Baltimore. Her brother was mayor, very practical, down-to-earth job. Mayors, unlike Congress, deal with decisions very close to neighbors and people. Question of Jerry Brown. Did you, this is New York Times Sunday Magazine, did you ever want to have children? Jerry Brown says, obviously not, or I would have had them. I have only been married for a year and a half. Question, what does your wife do? Answer, she's my campaign manager. Before that, she was chief administrative officer for The Gap. She's only 20 years younger than me, and it is her first time. We went out for many, many years, but being married is different. It's the permanence which is different. It is the commitment. Hooray! Question goes, you're 68 and you finally got the concept of relationships. Jerry Brown answers, I did get it. It's been a wonderful time in my life. I enjoy it every day. We have a loft, the former Sears Roebuck building in Oakland. We're up on the fourth floor and I can see the sun come up. New York Times, over the years, you have moved from being a fabled liberal to a centrist position. Jerry Brown says, I don't know. I don't use that spatial metaphor. Then how would you describe yourself politically? And this is how the interview ends. I'm very independent. There's a great line from Nietzsche. A thinking man can never be a party man. So there he is. He's not going to party hardy, Jerry Brown, in his interview in this week's New York Times Sunday Magazine. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, marching to his own drummer, as usual. Patricia, calling from Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Patricia.
Hey, Enid. Enid, in regards to health care, you know, one of the problems I see is, I'll give you an example. I used to take a thyroid drug. It was called Cytomel. But here in the States, it would cost me $1 a pill. Now, if I purchased it from a Canadian pharmacy, which is out near Calgary, it was $35 for 100 pills. And so they sent me a letter 6 months after I had ordered.
So really, basically, you're paying a third the cost if you get it through Canada.
Yeah, exactly.
Weren't they cracking down for a while?
Well, what happened was, Enid, with mine, what happened is I got a letter from them saying, due to legislation, we can no longer sell you these prescription drugs. So what they were doing is people like Schwarzenegger believe, no, do not let American pharmaceutical companies compete, you know, having to compete with Canadian, which, of course, you know, they would have to lower their prices.
Well, my understanding is a lot of those big pharma companies are American, but they have to sell at one price in certain countries, and they get to sell at whatever price they want to in this country. And furthermore, with that Medicare drug benefit, the power of the government is Medicare is precluded, not allowed by law to negotiate bulk prices like they do with the VA.
Yeah, that's what doesn't make sense to me, where the VA can get the same price, for example, what I'm getting in the drug, and people on there can't do that.
So
it makes no sense.
So what happened? You got a letter, and now you can't get your meds at two-thirds off?
No, they're saying now, because due to current legislation, which I'm trying to figure out what's going on with this, they are unable to sell it to me. So I guess I don't know if that's a state law or that has been enacted by a federal law, where it prohibits Americans from still being able to buy from Canadian pharmacies. So...
Well, you're going to have to look into that. It's a big. Does your insurance cover this, or you have to do this out of your pocket?
No. I have Kaiser in it. We pay as a family about $400 and something a month. It does not cover prescription drug costs, so we have to pay that out of our pocket in addition to all the copays when you see a doctor or when you have a blood test done. So
you know, you might check with Kaiser. Maybe they have some ideas for where you can get this drug at less than what you'd have to pay for it in this country. And it always pays to shop around, but I think this business that Arnold is going to suddenly insure everybody who's uninsured in California and still cozy up to the corporate interests involved here is pretty suspect. I don't know how he's going to do it.
Well, Edith, I want to tell you something quickly so you can take some other calls. One of the arguments I heard from Schwarzenegger's office was that they're not safe to buy drugs from Canada.
Oh, please.
I'm Canadian. I have a sister-in-law who's an RN nurse, and she said that's the most ridiculous thing she had ever heard.
Well, if you're Canadian, can't you get the drugs that way? If you cannot, being a Canadian citizen?
You have to get a prescription from a doctor there. So I would literally have to go there.
Well, if you're from there and you can save a lot of money, you might think about it, Patricia. That's my thought for the day. Thank you very much. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. How's Arnold going to do this? How's he going to manage to deliver all these? He's telling us we're going to have everything now that he is. He's going to put this in his State of the State address. I'm waiting for my invitation to the inauguration and to the State of the State address. I'm going to hold my breath until that invitation comes to me. I can't breathe. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Well, our weather tonight is going to be a little more rain. We're going to see lows. We're sitting right around 52 now. Could be even near 30 this afternoon. And our traffic, southbound 99, looks like just past Prairie Drove, we have a two-car crash. Don Julio Boulevard at Willerga, there's a three-car crash. Eastbound 50 just west of Folsom Boulevard. Westbound 50 just east of North Bend. Watt and Watt Avenue at Kiefer Boulevard. Looks like we have crashes all along there. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong. Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Is your
new rule number one, no more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet. That is you and me. You and me. It's the tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Live and local, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
.341 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. We're talking about all these promises Schwartz he's making, and we don't know how he's going to fulfill them, but they all sound good. And we're in the Santa season, you know, where we're all looking forward to those gifts we're going to get. And now Schwartz has wasted no time. He's opened an account in which he can raise $200,000 annually for anything from staff parties to bonus paychecks for top aides. It is the newly formed office holder fund established 2 days after he won re-election. It provides Schwartz a new vehicle to collect money from donors without opening a campaign account for future political office. And I don't think he has to really, it's kind of a soft money sort of a situation where all this money can come in. It allows him to raise up to $200,000 for extra office holder expenses. It was approved quietly at the end of the session. Allows termed out legislators to collect up to $50,000 a year and statewide officials to raise up to $100,000 a year. Typically, lawmakers have used campaign money to pay for receptions, gifts, and promotional activities that have seemed too lavish for the state to pay for. So I think this is just a way for corporate interests to get close to him and get more access, to buy more access. That's what it is. It's sort of a slush fund. 349-1320, I don't think we're surprised about that, are we? Marjorie and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Marjorie.
Hi, Enid. I just have a premonition for the future.
Yeah.
Governor Schwarzenegger is going to talk about this until the voters kind of forget about everything, and he's just going to kind of, you know, massage everyone's ego and tell them, I'm going to do a good job, and I'm going to get health care for everyone, and he can't even get health care for his Walmart employees. It's ridiculous.
So you think this is just a ploy to sound good? It's a good, it makes for a good script for the State of the State address, and
absolutely.
Then it gets, it's going to get bogged down?
Oh, absolutely. He's just going to talk about it until people forget about it. If we pressure him, if people can remember things for more than 1 week, then maybe we can get something done.
Well, that's a question. Do we remember anything for more than 1 week?
I think I'm the only one who does sometimes.
Marjorie, thank you for the call. You're going to be, all right, then you're going to be our voice of memory. You will be our institutional memory. Thank you for
calling.
All right,
remember my premonition.
I'm going to remember if I can remember for more than a week.
All righty.
Thank you, Marjorie. 349-1320. I want to share with you the story. You know, we have a lot of stories about people who don't care. And I want to share with you a story about somebody who does care. And this is a pretty interesting story because a lot of people diss public servants. A lot of people diss the bureaucracies and so on. But you have some dedicated people that make it work for the rest of us. They are often unsung heroes. And the first, you know, a salient intimation I had of it was... as you know, I read the obits because those are like little biographies of people who die. And there was one person whose obituary, who I had never heard of, and his obituary seemed really interesting to me. He's a Sacramentan. And he was the first guy who, for CalPERS, was picking stocks. This is way before computers. Now there are many, many, many people to do in the aggregate what that one person did in the beginning, plus a whole, rooms of computers that also assist in the process. But he was one person who did it, and he did it on the basis of a lot of prep and the basis of a good gut and the basis of a million other things, and he was very, very good at it. It was when CalPERS first started to move into stocks. And I read about him in his obit, and I thought, my God, there he was. And he lived quietly, didn't brag about what he had accomplished. He was really an unsung hero, and a lot of people benefited from his good work. Well, here is the story about the prescription drug benefit and how it tottered. Early this year, while the top Bush administration officials were boasting about the success of a new Medicare drug benefit, a middle-level manager, and her name's Abby Block, she's 75 years old. She has been a civil servant. She's a director of the Center for Beneficiary Choices at the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. She's had other jobs. Anyway, when everything went into meltdown with the Medicare drug benefit, everybody turned to her. She has been an advocate for federal employees, and now she works on behalf of private citizens. Now, she's 75 years old. She didn't need to do this. There are a lot of people who have retired a lot earlier than this woman. And she, whenever the problem is the thorniest, that's when she wants to jump in the middle of it. And instead of shoving it under the rug, instead of papering it over with some temporary but fairly useless solution, she's somebody who likes to roll up her sleeves and fix it. And she has apparently did exactly that when everything looked like it was going into meltdown with the prescription drug benefit. She has apparently solved many of the problems that plagued the program in its first weeks when, listen to this, low-income people were often overcharged. Some were turned away from drugstores without getting their meds. By September, according to several market research firms, 3/4 of the people receiving drug coverage through Medicare said that they were satisfied. So she is somebody who was able to do it. She said sometimes a career, behind her desk, she's got a couple of busts of Theodore Roosevelt, the champion of the civil service. She received those for doing an outstanding, job in her prior position. She says that, the thornier the problem, the more interested she gets in it. And so here she is. She says, in the federal employee program, the primary focus is to get the best deal for federal employees and retirees. In Medicare, the primary focus is to get the best deal for beneficiaries. The key, I think, is to treat the plans as partners rather than as adversaries and to establish a mutual goal. This is a business relationship. So reading about her was really uplifting, I'd have to say, pretty inspiring. Here she is. She's 75. She couldn't wait to sink her teeth into a tough problem that everybody else couldn't wait to run away from. She was able to fix it as well as you can fix it without the legislation that should be involved in fixing it permanently. And she made it work. And it was one person, one unsung hero, and those of you who are the beneficiaries of this particular plan have her to thank, and you don't even know it. Just an invisible person working on your behalf, making a system work, and you don't even know that that's the case. 349-1320, and I was surprised to find this, and this made me sad when I saw it today. This is the courts have said in California that if you are able and your parents are in dire circumstances, they're indigent. Let's say your parents are indigent, but you have means. By law, it is your job to support them. Now, the fact that people would consider not doing that is pretty sad. The fact that people are forever throwing their children into daycare, which is a form of warehousing, or the elderly into nursing homes and so on is another form of warehousing. But this has been upheld, and I don't think it's widely known. And if you do neglect your indigent parent, it's not a felony. It's only a misdemeanor. So I guess this is probably not going to have a huge effect, but the neglect of an indigent parent is punishable in the state of California as a misdemeanor. So just as you are responsible for your minor children's, supporting your minor children, whether you're divorced or you're not divorced, you're responsible for doing that until they're 18 years old. You are also responsible if your parents are indigent for doing the same. Any thoughts about that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And I want to add this to the conversation, and that is Philip Morris doing something that is so amazing. They have adopted the role of good citizen. They're putting out these ads that say, think, don't smoke, essentially saying, just say no, is the analogy that, remember, Nancy Reagan came up with, don't do drugs, just say no, think, don't smoke. And they're putting out these don't smoke ads, and they're really just going full tilt into the don't smoke. And this is Philip Morris, which manufactures cigarettes. Well, you might ask yourself, why are they doing that? Well, they're doing it because they've just done some research on the ads, and they don't work. These ads, don't smoke, none of these ads work. How many don't smoking ads have you read and looked at if you are a smoker? Did they work? If you're a teenager, are you going to listen to the don't smoke ads? Or are you going to look at who's lighting up a cigarette in a movie? Some hot person. What are you going to do? Or if you get anxious, or if it seems cool to smoke. So Philip Morris is just thrilled to be in the arms of this don't smoke. So when don't smoke means actually do smoke, or it's a waste of money to do these ads because they don't have any impact at all. 349-1320. And there's been a court case about these light cigarettes that smokers, I think it was a class action suit, smokers said they were lulled into believing that if they smoked light cigarettes, that they weren't getting as much nicotine, that these cigarettes were a little healthier for you. It turns out they were just as unhealthy as the not light cigarettes, but the courts have sided with the cigarette companies and not with consumers. So if you smoke cigarettes, light cigarettes, thinking that you weren't getting as much of the bad stuff every time you inhaled, you were getting just as much of the bad stuff, they get to call them light, and they aren't being held accountable, but they're putting out these full-throated ads telling you, please don't smoke, because nobody pays any attention whatsoever to these ads. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Just say no to dope. Just say no to driving without your blinker. I would really like it if you did. Interesting enough, I get some of these updates. We have three accidents all involving blinker usage or non-usage, I guess we could say. The Don Julio Boulevard at Willarga, there's a three-car crash due to lane changing, the switching of the lanes without a blinker. Very important to use. Eastbound 50 at Larson, same thing in southbound 99 at Laguna Boulevard. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
I'm just going to say right now what we're not saying.
She's not right.
And let the chips fall.
But she's never wrong.
Let the chips fall. Let the chips fall where they're
been. Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
It's the most patriotic.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Without love, pain, I can't get enough pain. Like it rough, cause I'd rather feel pain than nothing at all.
Talk to Enid now. 349-1320.
Five on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours, post-Thanksgiving, pre-Christmas edition of Enid Live, in that special place that is so filled with, oh, God, you know, you walk into the stores and it's everybody's deepest, the junk that they're selling in order to evoke your deepest memories, your fondest Christmases, the stuff you read in magazines, the idealized version. It's just amazing. You know, you just have to be you got to get a miner's hard hat on and become a cultural anthropologist. All right, we're talking about when don't smoke means do, because Philip Morris has adopted these incredible please don't smoke ads. So you're thinking, why does a company that sells cigarettes there's some you know, legislative push for them to do it, but they're really going over and above. And the reason it doesn't matter to them is it turns out that there is that these costly ad campaigns produce no health benefits at all, that doesn't keep people from smoking. There's no beneficial effect. Those aimed at parents were actually harmful to young people apt to see them, especially older teenagers. So the whole thing is just a waste. In the meantime, the Supreme Court sided with Philip Morris USA, refusing to disturb a court ruling that threw out a $10.1 billion verdict over the company's light cigarettes. So here's the story. The Illinois Supreme Court threw out a massive fraud judgment against Philip Morris. So a lower court had said that Philip Morris was engaging in fraud by selling these cigarettes that they were saying were light cigarettes. They call them light cigarettes. So the implication, you know, low tar, remember, light, low tar cigarettes and so on. The implication is that somehow these are going to be better for you. Now, whether they actually said that they were better for you, I don't recall in the advertising when you could advertise cigarettes. But light, low tar, doesn't the implication sound like we're selling you a slightly more healthy product? Well, the case involved 1.1 million people who bought light cigarettes in the state of Illinois. They claim Philip Morris knew when it introduced that cigarette in 1971 that they were no healthier than regular cigarettes. But they hid that information, and they hid the fact that light cigarettes actually had a more toxic form of tar. So they tell you it's a light cigarette. You think it's a little maybe not as bad for you as a regular cigarette. But in fact, it's got a higher form. The tar is, according to these allegations, more toxic. An Illinois judge ruled in favor of the smokers.
KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
Is it civil war?
It's what the White House calls a new phase in violence in Iraq. I'm Mark Knoller with the president in Estonia.
The White House a little more open on domestic surveillance. I'm Dan Ravitch.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The Bush administration acknowledges the situation in Iraq has gone from bad to worse. We get the latest from CBS News correspondent Mark Knoller, who's traveling with the president.
While rejecting those who call the situation in Iraq a civil war, White House National Security Advisor Steve Hadley concedes that things are not proceeding well enough or fast enough. With President Bush to meet Wednesday and Thursday in Jordan with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, Hadley says this latest surge in sectarian violence and bloodshed represents a new phase to which Iraqi and coalition troops must adapt. Briefing reporters on Air Force One, Hadley says Mr. Bush wants to hear al-Maliki's idea of the way forward in his country. Mark Knoller, CBS News, with the president in Tallinn, Estonia.
Mr. Bush is overnighting there on his way to the NATO summit in Riga, Latvia, where he'll urge members to increase their military spending. From Air Force One, he consulted with the leaders of France and Egypt. In Washington, CBS News correspondent David Martin reports members of the Iraq Study Group met behind closed doors to begin drafting their recommendations.
One source close to the group predicted they would produce a unanimous report or nothing at all. They spent part of the day interviewing U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan by video conference, even as Annan publicly warned Iraq is on the brink of civil war.
Given the developments on the ground, unless something is done drastically and urgently to arrest the deteriorating situation, we could be there. And in fact, we are almost there.
The most dramatic option on the table is an increase of up to 20,000 American troops in an effort to keep a lid on the violence.
The U.S. military confirms an F-16 fighter jet crashed today north of Baghdad. No word on the fate of the pilot. Al Jazeera television showed pictures of a tangled parachute near the burning wreckage. Now this.
New Michelin tires on sale from Sears.
along with family, friends, and rum balls, something to be thankful for. With new tires, you can drive to the store to buy the forgotten can of cranberry and the extra batteries. You can go to find the last-minute gift for that last-minute nephew who shows up late with his roommate. With Michelin tires, the holidays just seem brighter.
Get the lowest price of the year on Michelin tires, only at Sears Auto Center. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 12/24/06.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot. I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry, I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
Nope, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
It took more than a year, but people with oversight responsibilities are finally getting access to secret details of the government's domestic surveillance program. Live to CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv.
The only Democrat on a citizens' rights board created by Congress, appointed by President Bush, is Lanny Davis. He tells CBS News after that first classified briefing.
The safeguards and precautions regarding civil liberties impressed me greatly.
And the chief internal inspector in the Justice Department revealed today that he's gotten security clearance and apparently reversal by the White House to investigate how justice, including the FBI, uses the email and phone call intercepts, especially if they turn out not to be connected with terrorism. A senior House Democrat says that probe is long overdue. Live in Washington, Dan Raviv, CBS News.
Scorched cinder blocks and charred wood are all that remains of a group home for the elderly and mentally ill in Anderson, Missouri. 10 people died in an early morning fire. 24 were injured.
We're treating this as if it were a crime scene. We're not saying it's definitely a crime scene, but we're treating it as if it is and trying to determine if the fire was set by somebody that had a nefarious motive.
Governor Matt Blunt, a small fire at the home on Saturday was still under investigation when today's fire broke out. This is the stock market's worst day in more than 4 months. The Dow fell 158 points to 12,121.
The market got hit with a triple whammy today. You've got a falling dollar, rising oil prices, and bad sales news from Walmart, which is a retail bellwether, and that's got investors pushing the sell button.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christopher says we have to put today's losses in perspective. 18 times since the beginning of October, the Dow has closed at record highs. Oil prices topped $60 a barrel today. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It doesn't matter where you're calling from. It doesn't matter what universe or planet you are on. If you're in the 916 area code, the number is 349-1320. And if you're not, 866-626-1320. So you can always call the show and weigh in on this vibrant flea market of ideas, this vibrant conversation that takes place from 3 to 7, Mondays through Fridays. And remember, your homework assignment is to tell 3 to 5 people every day that we are here, that AM 1320 is here. They can listen to Scott and Sims in the Morning Retort from, well, let's see, 5:30 to 9, I think, every morning, Monday through Friday. Okay, there's some polling out, and let me give you some of the poll results. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about Schwartzies was on Meet the Press, Meet the Depressed, on Sunday, promising how he was going to fix every single thing. Meanwhile, he hasn't fixed anything, and he's already been governor for a couple of years. He's got a plan for the prison meltdown. He's got a plan to insure all uninsured Californians, and he's not going to raise taxes, and it's just going to be It's just going to be a happily ever after. And all of this is going to be in a state of the state address. So how he's going to do this will be very interesting to see. Then we were talking about smoking. Philip Morris. It is running all these ads telling you don't smoke. Just say no, it's a bad thing to smoke, and they are really going full tilt with these ads because they don't have any effect whatsoever. That's number one. And number two, they're going forward with these ads because they can do it and because the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, has sided with Philip Morris when Philip Morris introduced light cigarettes, low-tar cigarettes. It turns out they were just as unhealthy for you as regular cigarettes and in some cases more toxic because of the tar involved in those low cancer rate cigarettes. So anyway, the Supreme Court has sided with Philip Morris on that. I want to move on and add to the conversation. We've got some polling out. Poll, who do you like better? Do you like Dickey or do you like Poppy better? Only 1 in 4 Americans believe that President Bush, Dickey, is a better president than his father, Poppy. And this is according to a CNN poll. 6 in 10 said the elder Bush, who served only one term, did a better job in office, according to this new poll. 12% said both were equally good or bad, and 2% had no opinion whatsoever because they were among the nearly comatose. The poll also found that 59% disapprove of Dickey's handling of his job, whereas only 38% approve of it. So the poll's release comes just weeks after Dickey and the GOP lost control of both houses in the midterm elections. In addition, two men associated with the father, Robert Gates and James Baker, have emerged with new roles. So only 1 in 4 Americans believe that Dickey is a better president than his father, Poppy. In another poll, Giuliani, McCain, and Obama all rank high, and it was reported over the weekend that Obama is in Iowa consulting. So I don't know what he's consulting about in Iowa, but it looks like he's looking at his prospects for running. Americans have the warmest feelings about former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, Republican Senator John McCain, and Democratic Senator Barack Obama. This is according to a poll released today that scores the popularity of national leaders. Giuliani scored the highest at 64%. Obama and McCain, who are also considering a run, finished next at 58.8 and 57.7. Now, remember, Obama is fairly new to the scene. So the fact that he's up there is high, practically, he's lower, let's say, he's about 7 points lower than Giuliani, and I don't think Giuliani has got any chance whatsoever of being president. However, here is some intriguing news. And here it is. John Kerry has finished dead last in a poll on the likability of 20 top American political figures. He is absolutely at the bottom. Among those placing ahead of John Kerry were about a dozen potential 2008 White House rivals, including Hillary Clinton and John McCain. Bad news for Kerry. So here you have... Let me see who some of these people were in the poll. Well, Obama was in the poll. Giuliani was in the poll. Michael Bloomberg was in the poll. John Edwards, Hillary Clinton. John Edwards was a little bit ahead of Hillary Clinton in this poll. Bill Richardson a little bit below. And some of the other contenders include Joe Biden, Mitt Romney, Evan Bayh of Indiana, Newt Gingrich. I can't believe Newt Gingrich, who is the biggest womanizer and gas bag. This is an ambulatory gas bag that he would have, that he scores a little bit above Bill Frist, who's so busy analyzing Terri Schiavo by video that he's too busy to have an actual conversation. But anyway, dead last, Democratic Senator John Kerry, dead last on the list of likability, and this is 20 top American political figures. This is not good news for John Kerry. He has managed, I don't know how he did it, but he has managed to swift boat himself. 349-1320-866-2613-20. Greg in Wheatland. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Greg.
Well, hello. How are you?
Good.
Absolutely fabulous day today, I must say.
Thank you. What's on your mind, Greg?
Well, I called in to talk about those light cigarettes versus the, you know, regular cigarettes.
Yes.
I'm a long-term smoker, and it's all garbage. I smoke pipes and cigars and cigarettes, tried lights, tried this, tried that. And I what the difference is usually is they'll, you know, how do they make a light cigarette, you might ask? How do they do that? It feels the same weight. And they poke holes like in the filter. And what happens is when you draw on the cigarette, you're drawing more oxygen. So the smoke is not as strong, you know, as it would be if you had those, if you didn't have the holes.
Yeah, but it's just as unhealthy for you. And in the case of light cigarettes, low tar, the tar is actually more toxic for some reason.
Oh, I know. It's a pretty crazy thing.
It is pretty crazy. Why don't you quit?
And some...
Greg, actually, why, some Greg,
on the,
Greg, listen to me. Why don't you quit?
Well, I have actually tried to quit several times. It's a huge addiction.
I know, but I was able to quit.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
How you can quit. I just quit cold. I was staying with friends who scared me so badly. One was a newly minted doctor. They were on their honeymoon, and I'm sure I ruined their marriage because they divorced about 20 years later. No, I wasn't 20. I don't think they lasted 20. It might have been 10 or 5 even, but they divorced later. But there I was accompanying them on their honeymoon for a brief period anyhow, and the doctor scared me so badly. He said, you've got to quit. We're here. It'll be terrible for the first week, and it'll be okay after that. And he was right. So if you can manage that first week, it will be way better after that. But you got to manage that first week.
I actually have quit successfully. You just never want to take it up again.
You don't want to do it again because you're just going to get you're going to be falling right into the arms of an addiction that's supposed to be worse than crack cocaine.
I understand that.
Yeah. So if you quit once, why did you go back to it?
You know, it's like one of those. It's a habit. It's a crutch.
It's emotional. You think it's going to make things better, and it only makes things worse. It's like when you feel terrible, you think, oh, I need a hot fudge sundae, and then you're stuck with the results for about 40 years where it grows colonies on your hips. So, you know, if you can do this, it's just a slow form of suicide, and it's an expensive form of suicide, and it's expensive now. It'll get even more expensive when health care costs kick in. So if you can do it, Greg, I'm preaching to the choir, I know, but anyway, try. And I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-620-6-1320. Let me tell you, we are in the season for addictions right now. And food, you know, if you're a foodie, this is the time of falling into the arms of excess, whether you're encouraged to be excessive. There are all these parties, there's all the gift giving, there's all the shopping, you know, all that stuff that goes on this time of year. And it's very seductive. It's really hard if you're going to try and keep your equilibrium. You know, everybody says, oh, they'll go on a diet before the holiday season or after the holiday season. But, you know, you got to kind of keep an eyeball on it. It's tough. It's hard. Your goddess here is here to tell you it's hard, but life is hard. Life's not easy, but it's fun. Life's a lot of fun. And the challenges make you wise, and they forge character. And this is how you develop muscles to deal with things. And nobody ever tells you that. 349-1320. In fact, I want to talk about education right now. There is a whole movement afoot to... unschool kids. And the way that's being done is to let them decide what classes they want to take. In fact, no classes at all. There's, you know, we know about the homeschooling movement with children. We know that a lot of it has had a religious, kind of a fundamentalist religious base. But now we're seeing a secular sort of situation where kids don't go to school and they choose what they want to learn. On weekdays, during what are normal school days for most students, the kids in this particular family do what they want. One of them put a box over his head and had fun marching into things. That was the 4-year-old. The 9-year-old told stories about medieval warrior women. The 6-year-old drank hot chocolate and played with Dylan, the baby of the family. In a traditional school setting, such free time would probably be called recess. But for this family... it is called child-led learning and something that the mother considers the best in homeschooling. So she's letting these kids learn exactly what they want to learn. I'm not so sure that's a great idea, and I'll tell you why. If I were forced, if I learned only what I wanted to learn, there are a lot of things that I was forced to learn because you have requirements in school and you have to take certain classes. And things that are hard, I think we tend to shy away from, oh, I can't do that. I can't do those science classes. Oh, the math. Oh, algebra. Oh, no, trig. Oh, my God. But when you're forced to do them, you wind up learning, and particularly if you have a really good teacher. So here is a movement where families are deciding that they're going to homeschool their kids, and the kids are going to tell them what they want to learn, and that's what they're going to learn. Those of you who are in the educational establishment, is this a particularly good idea? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And the whole issue of poor children and what sets them apart from middle-class children, there's some research out now that tells us that poor kids are never going to catch up. That it takes massive amount of resources to do for poor kids who don't get parental attention what middle class kids just get as an easy rite of passage. And they have measured the interactions between the children and their parents. And they have decided that by the time these kids get to school, they are already well ahead of indigent children who don't get this kind of interaction at home. They measure. They have a way of measuring utterances, anything from a one-word command to a whole, you know, paragraph of things that the parents utter to their children. So they have found out that these words and statements that children heard varied by class. And what they also found out is if you were middle class, you most likely heard a lot of encouragements. But if you were lower class, you heard more discouragements, prohibitions, words of disapproval. So by age three, the average child of a professional heard about 500,000 encouragements and about 80,000 discouragements. For the welfare children, the situation was reversed. They heard on average about 75,000 encouragements and about 200,000 discouragements. And they have determined that language exposure in early childhood correlated strongly with IQ and academic success later on in a child's life. So if you heard fewer words because you were a welfare kid, and what you heard when you did hear words were discouragements and prohibitions, it had a negative effect on your IQ development. But if you heard a lot of words and more affirmations and complex sentences, and if you heard more encouragement, it had a more positive effect on your IQ. The professional parents were giving their children an advantage with every word that they spoke, and the advantage just kept building up. It's like a simple interest or compound interest, you know, interest on interest on interest. Compound interest, I guess. In the years since this research was published, social scientists have examined other elements of the parent-child relationship, and while the methods have varied, their conclusions all point to big class differences in children's intellectual growth. Children from more well-off homes tend to experience parental attitudes that are more sensitive, more encouraging, less intrusive, and less detached. In a way, that would stand to reason. If you are scratching around for where your next meal is going to come from, if you're a homeless shelter, you don't know where you're going to sleep that night, if you're on welfare, if things are really hard, you don't have the emotional equilibrium to be generous. You're worried as a parent, let's assume. You're worried, you don't know how things are going to shake down for you and the kid, and you're scared, and when you're scared, probably more negativity comes out of your mouth. Maybe you're not thinking about all the ways you're enriching your child. You're just worried about the next meal and how you're going to pay the bill and hoping that they don't shut off the electricity and where are you going to sleep that night. So here it is. Children from more well-off homes tend to experience parental attitudes that are more sensitive, more encouraging, less intrusive, less detached, more easy, more comfortable because they're in more comfortable circumstances, all of which they found served to increase IQ and school readiness. They analyzed the data to see if there was something else going on in middle-class homes that could account for the advantage, but found that while wealth does matter, child-rearing style matters more. So it depends on how much interaction you have with your child. It depends on encouraging your child. And then, of course, you have the other extreme, these kids that have been encouraged beyond belief. And I have friends. This is interesting because these are some of these people, I would call them helicopter parents. They're always hovering. And the kids have had the best of everything. And now they've graduated from college. And where are they now? Taking up residence on mom and dad. They're back in their old room. Because where are the jobs? What are they going to do? They've been coddled and they've had the best of everything. And now when you have an entry-level job, it's maybe not such a, you know, it's maybe not the most wonderful job in the world. You don't just automatically, as a coddled person, graduate and go into the top of that particular heap, do you? You can tell me, but I don't think it happens like that. 349-1320, 866-620-1320. So it's all too much for some of these kids. And they retreat with a severe case of the vapors back to their old rooms again in moms and dads. And if you will recall, we had Dan Gilbert on, and he is a Harvard professor who has been analyzing happiness. And he said, one of the things that makes you happy is if your kids finally leave home. This is the research shows us this. You may want to comment about that. That's what he says. He says parents, couples get much happier once their kids leave home, even if they adore their children. Is this true for you? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And here you have the issue of middle class versus welfare families and why, by the time they're 3 years old, middle class kids are way ahead of welfare kids. And there are some schools where they're trying to play catch-up. And in these schools, some of these instructors are working 15 hours a day to try to make up for, and this is in the lower grades, trying to make up for what these kids don't bring with them when they come to school that a middle-class kid gets just as a matter of course. So those of you who are in the educational establishment, those of you who are parents, what do you think about this research? Those of you who grew up in an environment where nobody read to you, has it made a difference? Apparently, this all translates into IQ points. It translates into, well, that horrible word, self-esteem, but confidence. Because if all you're getting is discouragement, which is what the welfare kids tend to get more of, as opposed to the encouragement that is often quite inflated for the middle-class kids, it makes a big difference in the way you see yourself. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
The weather could be freezing tonight and rain. You know those two really don't mix. Nice and icy it's probably going to be, so you might want to slow down a little bit, especially south M-99 and I-5 and at J Street southbound. We have a three-car crash over there. Also, it looks like Hazel Avenue at Pomo, we have a three-car crash in that circle. And westbound 50 just west of Hazel, a two-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
According to Enid, we'll set you free.
Really?
Call her now at
349-1320. Oh, hi, how are you?
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
There's another side to everything. Connect the lights to ring around your finger.
427 on the Monday edition of Enid Live, post-holiday. Oh, we're all recovering from the holiday. And it's going to be icy tonight, so your goddess is swimming in an unheated outdoor pool. I feel like a polar bear. I can't believe I'm doing it. I never would have thought I would be able to do it. So I don't know if I'm going to make it tomorrow in the pool or not, but we'll find out, I guess. And use your, in California, I have got to tell you, blinkers are apparently optional equipment. Use them. It'll save your life. We're talking about this research in education that tells us that if you are a welfare kid, you are already by the age of 3 years old, or if you're in lower, economic circumstances, you are already by the age of 3 years old at a disadvantage. Kids from poor families might be nicer, they might be happier, they might be more polite, but in countless ways, the manner in which they are raised puts them at a disadvantage in the measures that count in contemporary American society. And the research tells us that the more the family talks to the kid, reads some stories, utters sentences, has conversation, the more complex the thoughts, the more it results in positive IQ development. Also, the more in middle-class families, they did some research, they find out that kids are way more encouraged than they are discouraged, whereas in welfare families, that's reversed. They're way more discouraged than they are encouraged. And all of this has effects on the development of IQ. And so let me ask you this question. If this is already the case, and if you're at a lower, they're equating class with IQ development because you're not getting as much, then let me ask you this. Is it fair to require an exit exam in a school system that isn't even set up to do very much of the basics, let alone the remedial stuff that has to be done? In other words, bloated classes, not enough teachers, not enough good teachers. You know, we're trying to fix the educational establishment. And how we're trying to fix it is to require of kids who are already at a disadvantage in the system to be even more of a disadvantage to get out of high school. Is that fair? The exit exam, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So by the time you're 3 years old, the differences are huge between you. If you are in a welfare or lower class kind of a situation, you have not gotten the kind of stimulation or encouragement on the whole that kids in middle class families get just as a matter of course, just as a matter of being in a middle class family. And so by the time you're three, you are already, and so there are these schools now dedicated to this remediation, and these are where the teachers are very dedicated, and they are working 15 hours a day. So you take a kid, and you try to work with him, and you try to bring him up, but it takes a tremendous amount of effort. But that is not what we have typically in the public schools. So now to demand these kids coming out of these situations to pass exit exams, like that's going to fix it, it doesn't fix it. In fact, it only makes it harder on these kids who already come into the system at an immense disadvantage. What are your thoughts about that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. From that point of view, the exit exam is completely unfair and only burdens, makes it harder for kids who don't have the advantages to get out of school and to try to obtain the advantages. Now you stuck them with, we're going to fix the system. We're going to pile on. We're going to make them do an exit exam when they come in already disadvantaged. The school system hasn't done a whole lot for them in a lot of cases. And now to get out of this incarceration, this educational incarceration, they got to pass these tests that many of them try hard to pass and they are unable to do it. And they haven't had the right books, especially if they're in the lower income school districts. They don't get the same kind of attention. They don't have the same equipment. There have been lawsuits about it. It's really unfair to those students based on this new research. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Mike in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Enid. How are you today?
Good. Thank you.
I wanted to comment on a couple things. First one is with regard to the fairness of the exit exams. I believe that the only thing that the Republicans that have been in power have been interested in fixing is fixing blame where they would like it to be, which is squarely on the shoulders of the victim, as usual. And I think that that's, in a nutshell, what that's all about with regard to exit exams. But I also wanted to comment on something else that you said about children of your friends that come back and they end up occupying the same room they left.
Yeah.
And I think the reason for that is after so many years of the Republicans damaging the social fabric of the middle class and also reducing the opportunities of the middle class through their voodoo economics, that it's resulted in less opportunities and contacts among the middle class. For instance, I think when we were growing up, a lot of times children would end up getting their first jobs through the contacts that their parents were able to make with other middle class people that they had contacts with, and through that network that they had. That's been damaged to the point where it's almost gone. And I think that's one of the reasons.
Oh, no, I think, I disagree with you there. I think parents who have any kind of contacts are doing what parents have always done. They tap their friends. There are all kinds of contacts. Whether it results in the right job, but it's certainly a leg up for these kids, because if the parents are well positioned, they're, you know, what's the cliche? It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Oh, I'm not saying.
So I think a lot of that, but I'll tell you what, kids now trying to get an apartment on their own, or a lot of them get out of school, and they have massive amount of debt when they get out of school, huge student loans to pay off, and huge apartment rentals, especially if you're trying to live in a place like San Francisco where the rentals are astronomical.
I'm not trying to say that the parents aren't trying, and I'm not trying to say that the students aren't either. What I'm saying is that the amount of opportunity out there has been reduced to the point where you have more people trying to get the same jobs, whichever ones that do exist. And I think that's
well, you may be right, and I know they're trying to outsource a lot of high-tech jobs and bioengineering kinds of jobs, too. Mike, I thank you for the call. 349-1320 opens up a line. Nicole and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, I'm an English teacher at a high school, and you know, I can definitely attest to the fact that a lot of our disadvantaged students are behind academically, and I've read a lot of studies that have shown that, you know, those students are coming, basically, the studies that show that the research that you were pointing to is correct, that, you know, they come to kindergarten already behind because they haven't had the language and the encouragement from their parents. But one thing I've also noticed, I just want to make a comment about what you said about how, you know, there are not enough teachers and there's a lot of bad teachers. And I think that's true. You know, when you have a lot of disadvantaged students who are reading years below grade level, the classroom sizes need to be a lot smaller. Because
oh, I agree with you.
The teacher cannot get to all those students. I teach, you know, ninth grade and 12th grade. And
what do you do?
I'm reading at the third grade level.
Yeah, what do you do, Nicole, when you're teaching ninth and 12th grade and you've got kids in there who came into the system disadvantaged in kindergarten and not a lot has been done for them through the years? What do you do with them when you get them in ninth grade and 12th grade?
It's so difficult at that point to bring them up to where they need to be. For one thing, there has to be a will on the part of the student. They have to want to be that. They have to want to really raise their grades and raise their reading level. If the student doesn't want to, and, you know, when a student has been failing for years, they don't enjoy school. They don't like school. They have a bad attitude about it.
Well, of course, because they're
the teacher's job so much harder, because you're fighting these attitudes and this history of failure, you know, and it's really difficult to turn things around. And sometimes we get parents who are really helpful and they want the best for their kids, and then we get parents who are no help at all. But the teachers really, I mean, at this point, it feels like your hands are tied behind your back. We have parents who are in jail, kids who are in foster care, you know, kids who are living with grandparents or living with boyfriends, or girlfriends because they've been kicked out of their home or it's just so, so hard. And I know people I feel like a lot of times people blame teachers. It's a lot of like bad teachers. Well, sometimes the teachers are just so overwhelmed, but all of the teachers I know, and I can say this with 100% sincerity, are working so hard and are working overtime to try to help a lot of these kids. Because I work in a school that's all pretty much African American, Asian, and Hispanic. I have one white kid in my class, and everybody in this school is working so hard. It's hard, though, to raise those test scores.
Nicole, I thank you very much for calling. I appreciate hearing from you. 349-1320, 866-620-61320. Michelle in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Enid. I just had two quick points to make. One was regarding the exit exam that you were talking about, and I've done a little bit of research with that. Just regarding myself, I do think it's at a disadvantage for a lot of kids. I was one of these kids that went to a poor high school, And luckily, I encouraged myself to go to college. And it wasn't until I started going to college that I even started gaining an education. So if I had been denied through the exit exam, I would have never even had the advantage of even going to college and thus gaining the only education I got was through college. And so that, you know, had
so for you, for you, the exit exam would have been a deterrent to any kind of further education.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Deterred me. Right. It would have deterred me from going on to college and getting any kind of a degree. And the only education I really got because of the lousy high school I went to, which was a very lower income high school because of my parents' economic bracket, again, you know, if I'd have failed that, which luckily I didn't have to take it back then, I would have deterred me from going into college.
What did you, wind up graduating from college?
Yes, I graduated from Sac State.
In what?
Theater.
In theater?
Yeah.
And what are you doing now?
I do management at a retail market. But the other thing I wanted to say, too, was a lot of times my son has special needs and he has IEP and he's been mainstreamed enough where 75% of his classes are regular classes, and then, you know, the other quarter is to do with special needs classes. And it is, though I don't want him to have any advantages what any other child wouldn't have, a lot of these kids, they test really poorly. So while he has a very strong drive and he works really hard, I worry about the exit exam. He's a junior this year, and I really worry about him because he's like on the fence. He doesn't have enough of special needs that he can just get through it. He has just enough.
Well, are you helping him? Are you tutoring him? Are you doing whatever it needs to?
Yes, yes. We work very closely with him, and we work with his school, and we work with so forth.
Then I think
the exit exam is very scary because it can really prevent kids like that from getting further.
I see what you're saying. I thank you, Michelle, for calling. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have some slow-moving traffic southbound 99 right there by Fruit Ridge Road. Monroe Street at Fair Oaks Boulevard, a three-car crash slowing things down. And northbound Cap City Freeway just south at Elvis, we have a three-car crash. Enid Live will continue on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Enid Goldstein, a sign of intelligent life in the political universe. On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is.
riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left champion.
On the Monday edition of Enid Live, we are recuperating from the holiday while we're and then getting revved up for the next one, all at the same time, coming off our tryptophan. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We're talking about what it takes to make a student. And the research tells us that by the time these kids are 3 years old, if they've come from lower class families, they haven't been talked to as much, they have not been encouraged as much, and all of this goes to IQ development, intellectual development, and it has a negative effect. The kids that are talked to more, the more complex the ideas, it helps to develop their comprehension, their intellectual capacity, and also the more children are encouraged, it develops them in that way as well. So by the time these kids are 3 years old, if they've come from lower and reduced circumstances, very often they're already at a huge disadvantage. And the schools are not set up for this kind of remediation. And so my question is then, a fake-o-matic way of trying to pretend that you're trying to fix the educational system. All you are doing, I think, with an exit exam is burdening these kids. The kids that are coming out of the homes where there's a lot of intellectual stimulation, they're going to do fine in the exit exams. But the very kids that don't get it from the start are the ones who are now unfairly burdened by having to depart their educational incarceration with no high school degree if they can't pass that exit exam. So they're hit twice, don't you think? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So from that point of view, the exit exam is an unfair one, and particularly since in the lower class school districts, lower income, let me say, school districts, they don't have the same resources that the upper income. First of all, they don't have the same books. They don't have the same materials. They're often at a disadvantage that way. And very often, good teachers don't want the hassle of having to deal with kids who are reading and performing below grade level. They'd rather be in the fancier schools. They don't have to work as hard. And who can blame them? 349-1320. Michael in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Enid. I'm disagreeing with you today.
Okay.
You're painting with a pretty broad brush.
Okay, what are you disagreeing about?
There are plenty excellent teachers who, the problem is the teachers who aren't qualified, who come into the schools and do the work in the first place. Yet, I have a lesson plan that I worked on over my holiday weekend, mind you, a lesson plan that addresses the least performing to the greatest performing student in my class.
Michael, I don't doubt that for one second, and I know that there are really good teachers out there and very dedicated teachers who work especially hard in challenging circumstances. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying that when most kids who are coming out of disadvantaged situations, by the time they're three, they're already at a huge disadvantage. They may never catch up. Most schools are simply not set up for that level of remediation, and so to require of these kids an exit exam in high school, is that fair or not? That's really what we're talking about.
Can I say something?
Quickly.
To address that point specifically, I think that's a racist point of view. I've taught at private schools where it costs thousands of dollars in tuition. They have great books, great support system, great parents, and guess what? There are kids there that can't pass any exam.
I'm sure that's true, okay? But why are you saying it's racist? Who talked about race here? We're talking about an economic disadvantage. There are a lot of welfare people of all races, Michael. Why are you leaping to racism?
Because, you know, that's the way it comes across.
Well, I think that's your problem. I don't think it's anything that we're talking about here. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Jesse in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jesse.
Yeah, hello. I'm one of those people that didn't succeed in school because of the low economic background.
Okay.
And many of the people in my neighborhood, and I saw them. I'm 52 now, right?
Okay.
And I saw them in my later years, and most of them failed. We lived in a neighborhood that was called like the Boondocks, but there was a middle class neighborhood that was not too far from us. We all went to the same junior high school. When I got to the junior high school, I really thought I was all that because I knew my math pretty well. Well, they were doing fractions. The gentleman before you mentioned race, I don't believe it's part of it is racism, but it's mostly social economics of the lower class people because all the whites that were in my neighborhood also failed.
All right, you're 52, and you're breaking. Jesse, your phone is breaking up, so I'm not hearing everything that you're saying. So what has become of you and your friends?
Most of them dropouts. No professionals, no schooling of higher education.
What did you wind up doing for a living?
Labor work. You know, I don't want to mention putting labor, any type of work out down, but people are proud of their work, but I would say warehouse work, cannery work.
Okay.
Professional, as far as I mean by that, I mean like we didn't get degrees.
Right.
The kids that were in the next middle class neighborhood, they were getting all these. I agree with everything that you're talking about, but I've seen it with my son, and I've seen it with my friend's children, and my son's children are doing exactly what you're speaking about is happening to them. They're not getting the upper hand in this society because of education, but what I'm really trying to point out, there is some racism involved, and what I mean by that, I don't mean there's what I mean by racism is that the poor people tend to be more minority, Hispanic, blacks, and that's also cultural. Even if the Asians are typically,
but the Asian kids typically do very. All right, so you're saying you think there's a racial element. I am eliminating racism from the conversation. All I'm talking about is a low income situation, and this could apply to anybody. So on that point, I think we're going to have to agree to disagree. Jesse, I thank you though for calling 349-1320 866-626-1320. Susan, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320.
Hi, Enid. I grew up in very, very poor sections of San Francisco in the Deep Mission and Folsom, and I'm Caucasian, and we were very financially very, very poor. I have two bachelor's degrees and a very high-income career, and I grew up with lots of different folks, and I'm going to disagree with you a bit in that I think that cultures that highly value education do well no matter how damn poor they are. I grew up with lots of first-generation Vietnamese and Chinese. I mean, I'm talking the books were, no matter how poor, the education, the teachers, those kids got an incredible education and went on to be doctors and lawyers and you name it at UC Berkeley. So I think when people value education, and I know you don't want to talk about race, but, for example, the Jews really value education.
Well, and the Asians do, too.
And the Asians do, too. And all I'm saying is...
But they didn't... In the research...
Cultures,
all right.
Those cultures, and those particular cultures were very, very poor people. They had very little. You know, those kids were going across the street to the corner grocery store and begging for a can of Campbell's soup, and they graduated from UCB.
Okay, Susan, I thank you for weighing in, but you're not supposed to use that kind of language on the air. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Enid, thank you very much. We do have some lows with the rain, and it's going to be chilly and maybe some slick roads out there. For some of us, well, not me in particular, I grew up in Wyoming and Montana. I know slick, but just stay clear. Sometimes if it's completely a beautiful, dry road, it really has black ice on it. So you might want to slow down, especially over there where we get a lot of accidents. Southbound 99 all the way to Elk Grove Boulevard. I-5 southbound all the way to Elk Grove. It's the same thing. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's talk radio for the left of us. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Right now at Mattress Discounters, when you purchase any select...
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. friend said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly. Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
No more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate. And then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
.455 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7. We're the tryptophan-free zone right now after pigging out over Thanksgiving. I'm sure many of us did. We're talking about some of the research in education, and it is pretty startling research. And if it's correct, which it appears to be for the moment until they find other research that nullifies it, it tells us that if you're from a low-income situation without any kind of racial anything to it, if you're in a low-income situation, by the age of 3, you're already at a huge disadvantage compared with middle-class kids. There haven't been as many utterances to you. You haven't been as encouraged as much. And so by the time you're 3. So there are schools set up now for a very intense remediation. Most public schools are not. This is not to diss teachers. God bless our teachers. They really do a fantastic job. But so then I'm asking, is an exit exam fair to burden these kids who are already burdened by the, before they're even 3 years old? Ken and Davis, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ken.
Hello, Enid. Well, you're right on. It is unfair. I think it is unfair to have these exams, you know, this sort of a straitjacket that, you know, I guess they invented this policy up in the state government someplace. And it just occurs to me, I was trying to think about it as I was driving along listening to you. Everybody's coming up with all these other theories. Well, frankly, what really interests me is how come it seems to be politically popular for politicians to convince the public that we're going to give, you know, we're going to require these exit exams and that somehow that's going to help.
Because
I don't know why the public buys it.
Because it's a quick fix. It sounds good. The other quick fix was let's put them in uniforms and that's going to change everything. I mean, these are dopes that are
KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. A bipartisan panel has come away from a detailed briefing into the NSA's public safeguards for its terrorism surveillance program, saying they are very impressed, and if the people could see what they saw, they'd be much less concerned about the NSA's television listening program. Next, the Inspector General will get a look at what happens to non-terror information.
The letter from the Inspector General at the Justice Department to members of the House Judiciary Committee reveals what seems to be a change, security clearance from the White House for an internal probe into how information is used. Information from intercepted phone calls and emails. Civil liberties groups have asked if transcripts are destroyed. Democrat John Conyers, who from January will chair House Judiciary, says the internal investigation is long overdue, and Congress hasn't yet approved the entire program. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Is it civil war in Iraq? Not quite yet, but close, says U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan today. Reaction from the U.S. State Department, Sean McCormick. Is it civil war?
It's not our view, and more importantly, it's not the view of Prime Minister Maliki. And I think that he would be in the best position to judge such things that are occurring on the ground in Iraq rather than us sitting here in New York or Washington.
Whether something real triggered the reaction or it's something called contagious firing, New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg says the firing of some 50 rounds by police officers, five of them, is a pretty bad deal.
It is not the policy of the police department where a police officer can shoot at a car when the car is being used as a weapon.
One undercover cop outside a nightclub was hit or brushed by the car. That's when the bullets flew. The three men inside the car were leaving a bachelor party, including the groom who was killed. They were reportedly not armed, aside from the car. A legal dispute goes to the Kansas Supreme Court. The question, does a sperm donor have the rights of a father unless he explicitly relinquishes them? That's what Kansas law says. The law is being challenged by a woman who does not want her friend, the donor, to be the father of their child. New kind of ultrasound technique finds breast cancer tumors that used to hide in the density of some breasts.
The American Cancer Society states that 80% of those are benign. So if we can predict which are benign and prevent doing a biopsy, that would allow a big decrease in the number of breast biopsies as well as the anxiety caused to patients.
Radiologist Richard Barr, Youngstown, Ohio. Blonde bombshell Pam Anderson will be back on the market soon. She and Kid Rock are getting a divorce after 4 months of marriage. Anderson's publicist told People magazine it was not a happy Thanksgiving. On Wall Street, the Dow closed down 158 points today. The Nasdaq was off about 54 points. And oil prices hit $60.32 a barrel, up $1.08. This is CBS News.
New Michelin tires on sale from Sears, along with family, friends, and rum balls. Something to be thankful for. With new tires, you can drive to the store to buy the forgotten can of cranberry and the extra batteries. You can go to find the last-minute gift for that last-minute nephew who shows up late with his roommate. With Michelin tires, the holidays just seem brighter.
Get the lowest price of the year on Michelin tires, only at Sears Auto Center. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 12/24/06.
Stocking hat?
Check.
Ice scraper?
Check.
Goodyear tires with triple tread technology?
Huh?
Are you prepared for winter driving? If not, get any weather traction from Goodyear tires with triple tread technology. Now on sale. Plus, get up to a $40 mail-in cash card when you buy four select Goodyear tires, including triple treads, or double it to $80 when you use a Goodyear credit card. Be prepared this winter and save big on all Goodyear tires with triple tread technology. These offers end December 2nd, 2006. Offer subject to credit approval. See your participating Goodyear retailer for complete details.
If you haven't had your flu shot yet, there's still plenty of time. The core of the season is still weeks and weeks away.
Demand for flu shots typically declines after Thanksgiving, according to Health and Human Services Secretary Mike Leavitt, but
influenza doesn't peak until February, or in some cases, even later.
Leavitt says if you haven't gotten a shot, get one. There's plenty vaccine.
Nearly 92 million doses have already gone out, so there should be a dose for everyone who desires to have one.
Health officials don't want the vaccine left over. It can't be used next season, and too little demand may discourage drug makers from producing enough in the future. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
Steal a cell phone belonging to a member of parliament you could call anywhere, which is what's happened. Someone filched the phone of a member of Scotland's parliament, and no one raised an alarm for 2 years. By then, the phone bill had hit $97,000, of which the phone carrier will eat half and parliament will have to pay the rest. Harley Carnes,
it's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is you and me.
You and me is that
tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a good truck.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
But we love to hear from you on the air. And if you've never called a talk radio show before, consider doing it. It doesn't cost you a penny. It's toll-free from no matter where you are calling. It is toll-free. If you're in the 916 area code, 349-1320. If you're not, 866-626-1320. Remember, we stream live, 1320 left channel, one word, 1320leftchannel.com. And as I said, if you have never, most people who listen to Enid Live to talk radio never call. They never do. They always think that, well, I don't know, maybe we all get nervous. I don't know what it is exactly. I would get nervous, really. But it's, you will get over that very quickly. We're just talking, and you will be heard by a huge number of people. It could change things. It could have an effect on any number of listeners listening. And it could clarify. I mean, there are lots of reasons why you want to do it. It always enriches the conversation, the more of us who participate in that conversation. If you were just joining us, we started out with Schwartzy, who was on Meet the Depressed yesterday, talking about how he is going to create some sort of a program. The details were completely vague to insure all the uninsured in California. And, of course, since he dances heavily in the arms of corporate interests, I'll be intrigued to see how that happens. And he's got all these plans for fixing the prison meltdown issue in California. So far, the only thing that we've seen is that he wants to outsource some prisoners to other states. But he's got a plan. Everybody's got a plan. And we'll find out more, I suppose, in a State of the State address or as his administration unfolds. He's created a new slush fund for these kinds of expenses. That it doesn't look good for the state to pay for, and it's just another way, I think, for corporations to have greater access to him. So that's what we started out with that, and we moved to a lot of areas. The polling, Barack Obama is in Iowa right now. Barack Obama's polling high. Giuliani is polling the highest, and then McCain also polling very high. The lowest, the least likable politician out of a list of about 20, John Kerry. And we're talking about the latest educational research that tells us that if you, by the time you're 3 years old, you are already at a disadvantage if you come from a low-income home. And not all, but very often. And why? Because they have measured the amount that parents speak to children in middle-class families and low-income families. Middle-class families, parents are speaking to children more often. The more that parents speak to children and they converse back and forth and stories are read, the more the intellectual development is facilitated, the more the IQ can be facilitated, the IQ development. And by the time, the more middle-class families tend to encourage their children more, whereas lower-class families tend to discourage their children more. So the research indicates by the time the kids are 3 years old, they come in already at a disadvantage if they're from a lower-income situation. And then to burden them, they come in at a disadvantage. Most schools are not set up for the level of remediation that would be required. And they come in with values that the society doesn't appreciate and will not advance them as well as you would hope that they would be advanced in life. And then we're requiring from them an exit exam. It's like burdening them, it's like blaming the victim, burdening them even twice. And if they're in low-income schools, they're often in schools where their resources are not there for them. They don't have the number of books or the maybe a lot of teachers have fled those schools for easier teaching situations. But I'm not dissing teachers. A lot of teachers stay with those schools, and they really are working very hard. So 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So we're asking the question, is it then fair under those circumstances to require an exit exam? And what does it prove anyway? If you're a middle-class kid, you will easily pass it. And if you're not, it's just another burden. And it was one of these Band-Aids that was supposed to fix the educational system, and it doesn't fix anything. Over the weekend, it was reported that Michael Richards Kramer on Seinfeld is trying to salvage his career. I guess some other allegations surfaced. You know, he's the one who went ballistic in a racist kind of a way at a comedy club in Los Angeles when he was heckled by an African-American or a black American. And so he's gone on Jesse Jackson's radio show, and I don't know if I would have him on if I were Jesse Jackson, but I know that Kramer has hired a crisis public relations firm in order to fence mend and to salvage his career, and maybe this was the idea of the crisis public relations manager. I say all that because I want to add to the conversation, and some of you brought up the issue of racism in the kids who are not who are in the low-income situations, and it was specifically a non-racial conversation. At least I thought that's what I was having. But I do want to add this part of it. Black leaders today have challenged the entertainment industry, including rappers, to stop using the racial slur that Kramer uttered in his tirade. Jesse Jackson and others said they will meet with TV networks, film companies, and musicians to discuss the N-word. We want to give our ancestors a present, Jackson said at a news conference, dignity over degradation. Jesse Jackson also asked the public not to buy a DVD box set of the seventh season of the TV show Seinfeld that was released last week. This is interesting. Jesse Jackson asked the public not to buy a DVD box set of the seventh season of Seinfeld, which was just released last week. Kramer, who played the, well, his name is Michael Richards, but I'm calling him Kramer, triggered an outrage, and he played, he was Kramer, of course, on Seinfeld. He triggered an outrage with a racial rant against two black men when he was heckled during a stand-up comedy routine at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. A patron recorded the outburst with a video camera phone. Kramer has made several apologies, including one on Jackson's syndicated radio program, in which he said he is not a racist and was motivated by anger. But when all the things that spill out of you are racial epithets, it's awfully hard for me to assume that you are not a racist. I'm not buying it. At the press conference, one comedian, Paul Mooney, said that he used the N-word numerous times during his stand-up performances, but will no longer do so after watching Kramer's rant. He's my Dr. Phil, the black comedian said. He has cured me. Asked about free speech issues, Jesse Jackson said the word is, quote, unprotected. Maxine Waters, representative, California, charged that the only situations, such as the Richards incident, turn mainstream media attention to issues involving the black community. This is not simply about whether or not the black community forgives or forgets. This is about understanding that this is pervasive, that this happens in all of our institutions one way or the other, Maxine Waters says. Well, there are a lot of things to chew on in this issue. You have Jesse Jackson, who is going to meet with the TV networks, film companies, and musicians to discuss the N-word. Now, the N-word is used very heavily by black rappers. I don't know if white rappers use it. I don't know if, you know, it would be a big peril if they tried, I think. Those of you who are more astute musically than I can tell me whether this is something that white rappers use, but I think it's so offensive that the only people who could really use it would be black rappers. And do they do themselves a favor in the interest of sounding hip and in the interest of commercial sales? Is it worth using it? But at the same time, remember, prohibition never worked when they tried to outlaw booze. So the more you try to outlaw the use of a word, you can almost bet that that word will be forbidden fruit and it will be used even more. It's like the elephant in the room when you say, don't think about that elephant, and that's all you can think about is that elephant. So we have here a free speech issue. It's an offensive word. I would never use it. But if you're black and you use it amongst friends, is that one usage? If you're black and you use it for commercial purposes, let's say you have a rap group, is that good for the black community? It might be good for your career. Is it good for the larger community? Jesse Jackson is asking TV networks, film companies, and musicians to discuss that word. So we have here a free speech issue. Does it even work to say to people, don't use this, this is offensive, or does it make it even more attractive to use under certain circumstances? And Jesse Jackson, who did have Kramer on his radio show, he has asked the public not to buy a DVD box set of the seventh season of Seinfeld that was released last week. Was that to punish Kramer? Does that mean Jerry Seinfeld's getting punished too? Are you getting punished so you don't get to watch it? I mean, are these the right ways of going about something? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Kramer lost it. And he lost it in a way that was highly racist, I think. I don't care what his apology is. I'm sure he's mortified that he did it. Some people have defended his doing it because, hey, when you get angry, you say a lot of things. But this was in a public place. We're now in a universe where anybody can have a video cell phone. that went out to the whole universe. It didn't wasn't just confined to a comedy club. But Jesse Jackson's response is interesting. And in some ways, he wants it both ways. Why do you have Kramer on his show? Well, maybe Jesse Jackson wants to boost his ratings. And Kramer's a hot subject right now. And maybe people want to see what Jesse would have said to Kramer. We want to hear it. And Kramer wants to be there because being in the arms of Jesse Jackson could signal that he's not a racist. And he's trying to salvage his life, his career, his reputation. And yet, Jesse Jackson is tempering his commercialism, and because I think that's what it is. Jesse's got a real nose for commercialism, I think, his whole career. So this is good for the Jesse Jackson show. But at the same time, he wants rappers not to use that word. It might be good for their career. He doesn't want them to use that word. It's an offensive word. I can understand that. So he's going to, you know, Jesse bustles around and he's going to have all these meetings with TV networks, film companies, and musicians to discuss the N-word. And they're all going to make nice on each other in the meeting. And then, you know, everybody's going to do what they want to do anyhow. And at the same time, Jesse is asking you, we, all of us, the public, don't buy the box DVD set of the seventh season of Seinfeld. Is this a punishment to Kramer? But what about the rest of us who might want to see it? What about Seinfeld himself? What about the people who didn't say any bad words, who are being boycotted? I mean, is this the right, is this fair? 349-1320, is this the right way to handle it? 866-620-1320. Is there any right way to handle it? We know that racism exists. It's a very bad thing. I don't think it exists in the same way that it did, but I think it still exists. I'm sure anti-Semitism still exists, maybe not as overtly as it once did. Not in the, you know, it's bad form to tell racist jokes and anti-Semitic jokes, but does it exist? Yes, they all exist. And how are you going to deal with it? Well, I don't know. I think it's all gotten modified, though. I don't think it's as bad as it used to be, but maybe I'm wrong about that. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Jessica in Davis. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Enid. I just listened to you, and you know, I agree with a lot of the things that you're saying. We're pretty, what is Jesse Jackson doing, and what is Kramer doing? And I guess everybody's just scrambling to make sense of this. And I think that we make mistakes. And I wonder, in our society right now, where you talk about like cell phones with video cameras and so forth, how can we truly make an apology and have it be valid?
That was quite a big mistake, though.
Oh, it was a huge mistake.
I mean, you're kind. And why did Jesse have him on? I mean, it's clearly let's hear what he has to say. But it's probably spikes Jesse's ratings a little bit, I would think. And now Jesse wants to have it both ways. Would you have wanted to entertain this guy? I mean, Jesse's a minister, so every ministers, religious people believe in redemption and forgiveness and healing, and we move on. So, I mean, I guess I can, yeah, but I mean.
Are we going to move on, or are we going to continue to condemn him? And are we going to condemn Jesse for having him on? I mean, where is the purity of anything anymore if we're now in the public eye, if we now are on a cell phone, if we're now in the public? I mean, God, we all make mistakes. I mean, it was a huge mistake.
All right, so are you saying that Kramer has to be, is your view that we need to forgive Kramer and move on?
Well, I'd like him to do whatever we think is possible or probable for him to do to earn our forgiveness.
Well, what would that be?
I don't know what that is today because we're so public.
Well, maybe somebody's got an idea of what he can do to redeem himself. Maybe somebody has an idea of what Kramer can do to redeem himself. Does he give money to black charities? Does he go to Africa? Does he go work in inner city schools?
Right.
Does he do something on behalf of black Americans to really redeem himself? Or is he just going to go on a few shows, hire himself a crisis PR manager, mortified that he said these things, and yet he said them? I mean, where's any self-control? And you're right. Who can you believe in this fight?
And right before I got on the air, you were talking about how we all make mistakes, and a lot of this stuff is said. You know, we say this, and some people say this stuff in their homes. You know, but yes, he was in a public situation, and he shouldn't have done that. And it really doesn't matter what they did. I mean, I haven't even really heard what the hecklers said. But even if they said something, it was inappropriate.
It was completely inappropriate. All right, listen. All right, so maybe Kramer could marry a black woman. Would that do it?
No.
If he adopted a black child?
I think once we, you know, I think when enough time goes by, maybe we'll have forgiven him.
I'm being kind of puckish here, but I you know, there's anger and there's anger. You get a moment of anger, you can kill somebody too. You can step on the gas and you can kill your, you can suicide yourself. So are we saying, well, you know, when people get angry, they're not in their right minds. Well, yes, okay, but whatever happened to discipline? I don't know. I think Kramer. I know a lot of people want to excuse what he said because he was angry, but I'm going to tell you something. I think there's nothing that can excuse what he said. Now, he may be able to redeem himself eventually by doing good works and by putting his instead of talk, his actions could speak louder. And maybe he will do some good thing and a good thing will come out of it. But I think his behavior was inexcusable, and I don't think it's good enough to say, well, he was mad, and people say things when they're mad.
Well, I think that's a good definition or a delineation that you speak of redemption as opposed to excuses. I mean, there is no excusing.
There's no excuse. He did it. You know, you did it. You got to pick up the pieces.
Maybe there could be redemption.
Well, if he does something, you know, and if anybody's got some ideas of what the redemption can consist of, if over time he proves himself to be a worthy person again, that would be a different story. But just to go on talk shows and to hire yourself a crisis PR manager, because guess what? Your career could be in the toilet, is not sufficient redemption, in my view.
No, it isn't. I mean, I think he's definitely on the path. I don't think he's anywhere near it yet.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, John Leguizamo was on the radio today just lambasting him. And he said you just don't do that as a public figure.
No, you don't do it. You're not in your living room. You're not in your bedroom. You're in a comedy club, and now you are in a universe. I have long said, Jessica, you have to live your life as though anything you do is completely transparent, because eventually, and this is before cell phones and video cameras in your cell phone, because eventually it will all come out. It will all, you know, someone will tell about it. It'll all be there. You might as well just live your life transparently and save yourself a lot of grief.
Exactly. My son, when he was little, used to say, Mom, I could go and just do that right now. I could go and take that, couldn't I? And I said, yes, dear, you could, but you would always know you had done it.
Yes, and someone might see him, too, and they would know, too, and to the pokey, your kid goes. But that's right. Sometimes you do a thing because it makes you feel better to do it, and you get no reward for doing this good thing that costs you a lot of effort. But you do it because it feels good. So in many ways, giving is an ultimately selfish act. Just Jessica, thank you very much for the call.
Thank you so much, Enid.
You're welcome.
Love your show.
Thank you. 349-1320, 866-620-1320. We have one line open. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Checking the traffic and the weather. The weather's going to be a little chilly. Well, it actually is now. I'm finding it beautiful, but tonight they say freezing on the highways and byways. Northbound Cap City Freeway, we do have a three-car crash due to a spin-out. It's just south of Elvis there, eastbound I-80, just northbound of I-5, and westbound 50, just east of Broadway. We do have a three-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
It's Al Franken, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. It's full frontal radio.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five 27 on the Monday, post-Thanksgiving edition of Enid Live, as we're trying to coagulate our molecules back into work mode again. It's not easy, is it? You forget. Sort of. I said earlier when we started the show, you know, when you're used to zooming along at a certain energy and adrenaline level and you get a lot done, and then you have a day off, you just sort of crash, and then it's sort of hard to shoehorn your molecules back into work mode. But here we are. We're talking about Kramer, the actor, Michael Richards. He, as you know, went off on a couple of black Americans at a comedy club in Los Angeles before Thanksgiving. They were heckling him, and he went racist. He just went racist, ballistic racist. And now, with his career in some disarray, tatters maybe, he has retained a crisis public relations firm. He's gone on Jesse Jackson's radio show. Jesse Jackson let him on the radio show. I don't know if I would have entertained him, but maybe Jesse, being a minister, is of a more forgiving frame of mind than I am, and maybe he has a canny eye tuned to the ratings spike possibilities here. But in the meantime, Jesse Jackson and others said they're going to meet with the TV networks, film companies, and musicians to discuss use of the N-word, that he is discouraging people to use the N-word, and rappers particularly. And also, Jackson is asking the public not to buy a DVD box set of the 7th season of Seinfeld, which was just released last week. So I don't know if that's punishment to Kramer, but it punishes everybody else. It's a complicated question. I'm thinking that if Kramer really wants to redeem himself, his actions are going to have to speak louder than his words, way louder. And his words spoke plenty loud. What would he do to redeem himself? We have one line open, 349-1320. Michael in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Michael.
Oh, hello. I've been waiting for a bit, so I almost forgot that I was on hold for you. I was thinking, actually, as I've sat here and listened, I've changed a little bit, because I almost argue that it's become a generational thing, that the word doesn't mean the same to, like, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 39, as it does to younger folks, because kids across the racial spectrum.
Well, wait a minute. We're talking about the N-word, which we're not going to use on the air here, because I don't condone its use. But are you saying what? That it doesn't mean anything? It's not as charged as it once was?
It seems that it's... I mean, if you turn on a comedy special on HBO or Showtime...
Right, it's there.
The African-American comedians, the Latin comedians use it left and right. There's nothing ever.
But do white rappers, do white comedians use it? I don't think so.
I think Eminem
and
might,
Eminem
might to a degree, but most it's so pervasive in the culture and it changes meaning.
But it's one thing. All right, let me just jump in here. It's one thing when it's used as a rap. It's one thing as it's used as a rap or a comedy routine. But this was used in huge anger, where Kramer really lost it. This wasn't This was not part of his act. Believe me.
I haven't seen the footage. What's curious to me is if he was a nobody comedian, it would be a non-issue. I mean, it's the fact that he's a celebrity that it's become an issue. Like, what?
All right.
Really,
so are you defending it because you're saying it's not as much, it's not as racially charged a word?
I'm saying that people need to address it across the board, that it's not okay for black people to say it then either.
Well, that's what Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson is trying to convince people, and then it becomes a free speech issue, not to use
Jesse,
it.
I think Jesse's an opportunist, in all honesty. Like, I think there's no leadership of the like of the capacity of Malcolm or of Martin, and Jesse's just an opportunist because he. I think you're right. He's got it for ratings. I don't think.
So, are you saying? I'm trying to find out what you're saying, Michael. Are you saying that it's a generational thing, and for a younger generation, it has less charge on it than for an older generation?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've heard Asian kids call each other the N-word.
All right, let's put it out there. Let's put it out there and see how people respond to it. I thank you for the call. You know what? I think if you're an African American, if you're a Black American, and you're hearing it from someone who's Caucasian, I don't think it's going to be a perky moment for you. Is my thought. Gail in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Gail.
Hello, Enid. Generational thing. No, I don't think so. There are a lot of things that, quote, the younger generation is doing and saying, and you don't get a pass because you're younger.
And anyway, Michael Richards is not that, you know, he's a...
Right. And, you know...
He's not a kid.
His generation, a few years before his death, Richard Pryor came out and really clearly... had his own revelation and said that N-word, he didn't see any justification for anyone to use it.
I want to say something. I've said this before. You go to a comedy club now, and here's what you often hear. The F-word punctuated by something that's hardly funny with more F-words, which everybody uses the F-word, but still people laugh at it in a comedy club. For some reason, it hasn't lost its comedy luster, but it's not funny. It's like what you were told when you were growing up, that people lean on this stuff as a crutch for actually developing creative thought. And some of these comedy routines are really not very funny, and they salt it with F-bombs here and there to try to goose it into add steroid to it, and it still doesn't make it funny. It's just lame.
It does not substitute for wit. And that's what the problem is. They use it as a...
Well, the N-word, I think, for rappers is maybe in the same category. It's a substitution.
My understanding is overwhelmingly most rap music is bought by white teenagers with too much money. But as a redemptive suggestion...
you may be right about that.
Just a suggestion to get the thing rolling. It occurred to me, could he not submit himself to the Southern Poverty Law Center under the guidance of Maurice Deese for a year or so of without pay and to try and... racism is America's original sin. We were born with it. And all of us have to try and find a way to work it out of our, to rid ourselves of it. And I heard the rant, and he was stark raving.
He was out of his mind and way off base. And I don't care how angry he got. I think that's no defense. But I think you're onto something. And it can't simply be a cash donation. It's
too easy for
a guy in his position to write a big check. What he has got to do, if he wants to redeem himself.
You can't buy your way out of this.
You got to roll up your sleeves and you really got to make it count.
I'm saying years volunteering with some, and the first person that came to mind was the Southern Poverty Law Center. Because they really help people who are in distress, and I don't know, what he could do for them. As a starting point, have Maurice Deese send them to somebody else that we don't even know about. I don't know.
I think you're on the right road, Gail. I thank you very much, and I thank you for your eloquence. 349-1320, 866-2613-20. Kevin in Fair Oaks. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Kevin.
I just wanted to say that, he's a public figure, and he's always in the public eye, and he's screwed up in front of the public by doing that whole rant and rave thing. And no matter what he does, there's still going to be that little underlying thing, at least in my mind, that's going to say, you know what, he did this, and he apologized for it, and he, wrote a big check to some charity to say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it, but, it's like Mel Gibson, it's that whole thing. He went and he apologized to everybody, but... at the same time, I still think he's anti-Semitic.
I think he is, too.
So, I mean, it's just the same thing. And
all right, so what would Kramer have to do to redeem himself? Would he have
I don't
to
think
go?
There's anything he can do.
Well, if he worked in some of the toughest neighborhoods in Los Angeles in a hands-on way, helping kids in some, you know, I don't know what the programs are in those areas, would that help? Would that? Would it only be seen as a hollow public relations gesture?
Absolutely, I think it would work totally good as a public relations thing. But deep down inside, it's not going to do anything.
You don't think? Well, you know, I know things. You know, if this gives him some real kick starts some real religion in him, maybe something could change. Kevin, I thank you for the call, but you know, I'm an eternal optimist. And can I tell you, optimism adds 7 years to your life. Yes, I'm not making that up. You quit smoking, you get 6 months. But if you're optimistic, you get 7 years, according to the research. Paulette in El Dorado Hills. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Paulette.
Hi, Enid. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. You're breaking up on my end a little bit, so let me know if you can't hear me.
Okay.
So I've just been listening for a while, and I'm thinking that there was fault on both sides here. You know, I'm not excusing Kramer because I don't think that it's excusable when you're an entertainer of any kind to react to your audience.
Well, okay. And I don't think his anger is a sufficient excuse either.
No, I don't think anger is a sufficient excuse either, but he says he was angry and he reacted. But the men that were heckling him were equally racist and equally obnoxious. You know, so I think there's guilt on both sides, and I don't hear anyone saying, well, what did the men that were, you know, heckling him and making it impossible for him?
Well, see, I did hear some of it, but I never could hear. What I heard was muddled and muddy, so I could never hear what the other side was saying to him. He apparently was bombing, so maybe they were saying he wasn't funny. I don't know what they said to him.
Right, whatever they were saying, it was inappropriate and not the place to do it. If they weren't happy with his performance, they could get up and leave. They could go ask for their money back. You know, so I think.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, you could, but heckling is a fine old comedic tradition, and if you're a professional comedian, you must know how to handle hecklers.
Well,
it's part of the territory.
Sure, but I think it depends upon how you heckle. You know, I mean, you can heckle in a way that the show can go on, and you can have hecklers that are doing it in such a way that the show can't go on. And it sounds like, you know,
all right. So you're saying everybody there's shared negligence here is what you're saying.
Exactly, I'm saying there's shared culpability in that Kramer needs to make an apology. And then let the public decide whether they're going to accept it or not. They'll either continue to see him and buy his stuff, or like myself, they won't.
Paulette, I thank you very much for weighing in. 349-1320, Sandra in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, listen, can I bring a bit of levity to the situation? You know
yes,
what?
We could use
I prefer to be called the N-word than to hear another painful apology. I mean, it's sick. The guy's a cracker. He's racist. We're in America. Hey, that's how it goes. That's all I got to say. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Sandra. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Yes, the traffic. Normally, southbound 99 at Prairie Ridge Road, nice and slow all the way to Elk Grove Boulevard. Westbound and eastbound 50, very slow. A couple of crashes along the way there on Watt Avenue as well. And we have northbound Cap City Freeway just south of Elbs. That's a three-car crash. They haven't cleaned that up yet. Things are stopped down. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, this is Randy Rhodes, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento. Left channel, the only channel left.
When my son started having
a sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area. So stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and, of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate. It's a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpots. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Don't want to be an American idiot. Don't want a nation under the new media. And can you hear the sound of hysteria? The subliminal mind, America.
Talk to Enid now,
349-1320. But 11:45 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Your homework assignment is to tell 3 to 5 people every single day, and you don't even have to know these people. It's a lovely way to make contact with new friends in the checkout line or any other line, and let them know that we're here, that AM 1320 is here, that Scott and Sims and Morning Retort is here, that moi, your goddess Enid Live is here, 3 to 7 weekdays, and that they can hear really vibrant radio right here on AM 1320. I think a lot of people still are not aware that we are here. And you can join the conversation. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We're talking about Jesse Jackson and other black leaders are seeking to end the use of the N-word in showbiz. They're going to meet with networks, the TV networks, film companies, musicians to discuss the N-word. They're going to have major discussions about the N-word. So it's a freedom of speech issue. It is also Jesse Jackson, who did have Kramer on his show. And Kramer, of course, is the actor Michael Richards, who went ballistic and got very racist in a nightclub setting when his act was bombing a comedy club setting. The question is, how can he redeem himself? Can he redeem himself? Well, eventually, even Dick Nixon redeemed himself. So, you know, given enough time. My mother used to say, time wounds all heals and heals all wounds and wounds all heals. That's the way it went. Anyway, Jesse Jackson is asking the public not to buy a DVD box set of the seventh season of Seinfeld. It was released last week. What are your thoughts about this? What can Kramer do to redeem himself? The use of the N-word should, it's a free speech issue. But again, Jesse Jackson was happy to have Kramer on his show. Probably good a little bit for ratings spike, maybe. And here you have rappers who are using it because they're hoping for a career spike or a sales spike or whatever kind of spike you get. 349-1320. Allison in Fair Oaks. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Allison.
Hi, I'm Enid. I was just calling because I think that, you know, Michael Kramer's excuse of I was angry, so I made a racist epithet or, you know, had a tantrum that was very racist is really illegitimate, and that, I mean, I found myself very angry and I kicked and screamed, but I've never, you know, been driven to use racist epithets. And I think that everyone has prejudices, but I think that outright racism and racist epithets is just a sign of total uneducation, and I think it's a sign of fear, and racism is a fear of the unknown. And so if we don't each other, how are we going to get past this racism?
So what are you saying about Jesse Jackson requesting that the entertainment industry not use the N-word? What are you suggesting about Jesse Jackson asking for a boycott, that he had Kramer on the show, and what can Kramer do to redeem it? I mean, what are you saying exactly?
Right. Well, I think relative to Jesse Jackson asking people not to buy the seventh season of Seinfeld, I think is really not a bad idea. I kind of feel the same way. I see Seinfeld reruns on TV and don't even want to watch them at this point.
But even though Seinfeld had nothing to do with it.
Right. No, and I agree that it unfortunately would punish the other actors who would benefit from people buying it. But at the same time, you know, this is a big, you know, error that he made.
And what would he have to do to redeem himself?
To be honest, I don't know that he fully could for everyone in everyone's eyes. I think that, like you said, time heals wounds, and odds are time will take care of this to some degree, and that most people will forget about it or decide that it just wasn't that big of a deal. I think that one of your callers had a suggestion of him doing something like, you know, a type of community service with something like the Southern Poverty Law Center, which mm-hmm. I think is a terrific idea, just because I think that they are attacking American racism at its core, and extreme racism at that. So I think that that could really open up his eyes to his own uneducation about this issue.
All right, Allison, I thank you for weighing in. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. What do you think about what Allison had to say? Greg, in Sacramento, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Greg.
Yeah, hi. The only thing I can think that Michael Richards can do to, you know, redeem himself is to do the thing that he doesn't want to do, and that is to admit. You know, I think he should say something like, you know, I discovered that there's an ugly side to myself, a side that is racist. And I don't know how I'm going to be able to heal that sickness in me.
You know, Mel Gibson went into rehab. is Kramer going to go into rehab? Well, I think you're right.
I
think
at least he would be coming clean. You know, this business, I'm not a racist. And that nobody believes.
No, nobody believes. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. He ought to say, I just saw the ugliest side of myself. I didn't know it was there. I'm as shocked and mortified by it as you are. And then what does he do? Besides, he's got to do something more than go to the Southern Poverty Law Center.
One thing he can do is ask, what should I do? What other people think I should do? What do you do when you realize this ugly thing about it?
Well, I don't think
cleanse yourself of that, you know?
I don't think you should take a poll, though.
Well, I don't know if it's a poll, but I mean, still, at least the guy.
You got to have a couple ideas in your head. And he's retained very fancy crisis public relations counsel, who, at the astronomical sums of money that I'm sure he's being charged, ought to have some good suggestions for him along these lines.
Well, I don't know if they know either. You know, I think he's paying them a lot of money, and it's not going to do them one whit of good.
Well, then he ought to hire us. Greg,
yeah,
we charge a fraction.
All you have to do is listen to Enid Live, and he's going to get the answer.
That's it. You got that right. Thank you. I appreciate your comments. 349-1320, 866-620-6120. Let's talk to Mike and Zach. Hi, Mike. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I am a lot more offended by Jesse Jackson and what he did with fathering a child out of wedlock than what Michael Richards said. And if he expects us to forgive him for that, he should definitely forgive Michael Richards.
Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, my goodness. Well,
words and actions, you can't compare the two.
I forgot about that one. All right, Mike, I thank you very much. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Traffic nice and slow, southbound 99, right there by Fruit Ridge Road. Shocking. I know that there is no water on the... Is there water on the roadway? I don't think so. I need to go outside and look. But there is a couple of spin-outs, though. On the way, Watt Avenue and 50, westbound 50. Three-car crash, Farrell's Boulevard, just west of Lake Oak. And that's about it. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm what you've all been waiting for. So world-famous
Enid Goldstein.
All right, let's see what you can do. Take it away.
On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
New rule, stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it, because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence. Great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it,
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists?
campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's.
By 56 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7. Sacramento's Left Channel was the rest of that sentence. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Nedra in Fairfield. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Nedra.
Hi.
Uh-oh. What is...
Remember when you used to deflower people on their first call and used to play a little sprinkly music? Anyway, my point is this. I'm speaking totally as a 33-year-old black woman.
Are you a first-time caller, Nedra?
Yes, I am.
Oh, we used to have that kiss, but we...
You used to sprinkle the fairy dust.
Yes, we did. Well, we got to get that going again. All right, we'll do that again. If we ever get it together, we'll do it for you.
Carnes. The Iraq Study Group is considering the next evolution of U.S. policy in Iraq. Go long, go big, go home, the much-publicized major choices.
One option members of the study group seem certain to agree on is the need for more American trainers. Abizaid wants to double the current number of 5,000 in order to accelerate the turnover to Iraqi troops. But there is no agreement yet on whether to set an actual timetable for an American withdrawal, which some members of the Iraqi study group see as the only way to put pressure on Prime Minister Maliki to make the political concessions needed to head off civil war.
CBS's David Martin at the Pentagon.
I'm Mark Noller with the president in Estonia. While rejecting the view that it's a civil war in Iraq, White House National Security Advisor Steve Hadley says the latest surge in sectarian violence represents a new phase, and he says Iraqi and coalition forces must adapt to it. He says that's the focus of President Bush's talks Wednesday and Thursday in Jordan with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki.
Among the planetary problems of international note, there's the global epidemic of AIDS.
Researchers at the World Health Organization say the number of AIDS cases was expected to decline with greater availability of new medicines, but that has not happened. So they project that the number of deaths from AIDS will more than double, from 2.8 million a year to over 6 million in the year 2030, making AIDS the number three killer in the world after heart disease and stroke. AIDS now is number four behind respiratory infections. Dan Revive, CBS News.
What if having a few extra pounds were really good for you?
Here's a switch, a benefit from being too heavy. A study in the Archives of Internal Medicine says overweight and obese young women may have a reduced risk of getting breast cancer before they reach menopause. Why? One theory is that these women have decreased levels of female hormones associated with breast cancer development, or it may simply be that overweight women are less likely to seek medical screening, so their breast cancer detection rates are lower.
CBS's Barry Bagnato, Wall Street. The Dow closed down 158 points today. Not a bad thing, says Hugh Johnson at Johnson Illington.
Quite frankly, I'd like to see a few more days of declines of the sort that we're seeing today. Get the market down to a level that, you know, feels and looks and actually is a little bit more attractive.
The NASDAQ was off 54 points on the day. In the Cache County Jail in Logan, Utah, jail inmates spend hours knitting, literally, knitting baby caps, booties, and blankets. David Evans is a 25-year-old inmate from Blackfoot, Idaho. He says, "We might be criminals, but some of us have big hearts." They have knitted more than 300 hats and booty sets this year for babies, part of a charity program, and not one knitting needle has found its way to nefarious purpose in that prison. This is CBS News.
What tobacco issues are important to you?
The health effects. That's what concerns me.
Last night, Brian went to philipmorrisusa.com.
There's a lot of information there, but for me it all came down to this. There is no safe cigarette.
Cigarette smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, and emphysema. If you'd like more information on the health effects of smoking, as well as links for smokers who've decided to quit, find out more. Visit philipmorrisusa.com.
Somewhere between what a person is saying and what they're not saying, between what a person wants and what they need, lies understanding. For every client, everywhere, UBS has the distinct ability to listen, but more importantly, the commitment to understand. UBS, leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking, and committed to a relationship we call you and us. Member SIPC.
This hasn't been much fun at all for drivers trying to cross the high mountain passes in the Pacific Northwest lately.
It's 30 miles an hour under the speed limit on Interstate 5 from north of Seattle to the Canadian border. Packed snow and ice cover the freeway, and more is on the way. Wayne Ellis has been watching spinouts from his chained-up taxi.
If you're out there and you're just running on regular passenger tires, you're taking your life in your own hands and maybe a bunch of other people's lives in your own hands, too.
And the snow won't be melting for days. Forecasters are calling for highs only near freezing for the first half of the week. Chris Sullivan for CBS News, Bellingham, Washington.
Mothers who smoke during pregnancy have babies three times more likely to take up smoking by the time they're just 14 years old. It's a study by Aussie scientists who tracked the smoking patterns of 3,000 mothers and their children. After all, they say the babies are already smokers, given the systemic taste for nicotine while in the womb. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
leftchannel.com, one word. And you can email me, Enid at kctc.com. We've been talking about a lot of things. We've been talking about how, if you come from a lower class family by the age of three, you're already at a disadvantage with middle class kids because they're getting more stimulation and their IQ is developing more more rapidly than yours. We're also talking about Kramer. Kramer went off in a comedy club in a very racist way, but he managed to appear on Jesse Jackson's radio show. But Jesse Jackson is saying we need to boycott the seventh season of Seinfeld, now out on DVD. And he's going to meet with the entertainment industry in order to get them not to use the N-word and musicians. And Nedridge is called to say, hey, it's his usual shakedown. And, you know, that's what Jesse does, isn't it? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Jesse sees an opportunity, and he nabs it. We're talking, also I want to talk about, we've talked about the holiday season, and I want to talk about that as well. I want to add that to the conversation. And I want to talk about the Bush girls, those two girls. You know, they are in Argentina right now. And one of the Bush girls got her purse stolen, her cell phone, and I believe her purse. Now, these young ladies are guarded by Secret Service, so I would think that the Secret Service agents who are supposed to be guarding them must be in the soup over that, because nobody, if you're getting close enough to steal the purse and the cell phone, you're getting close enough to do damage to the daughters. And we don't want that, of course. So the Secret Service apparently not functioning the way it ought to be functioning, or maybe the girls don't want, you know, hovering Secret Service around them, and maybe the word has gone out they've got to keep their distance so that the girls can enjoy life to the fullest and party hardy and drink to their, you know, to their heart's desire. Well, here it is. The ABC is reporting that the U.S. Embassy is urging the Bush twins to leave Argentina despite growing pressure to leave the region. Bush's daughters insist on staying in Argentina. Where did they learn that kind of stubbornness? Well, here it is. Amid a growing barrage of front-page headlines, U.S. Embassy officials, quote, strongly suggested President Bush's twin daughters, Jenna and Barbara, cut short their trip to Buenos Aires because of security issues. And this is according to U.S. diplomatic and security sources. What? Withdraw in the face of mounting security problems? A ludicrous notion. Last week, ABC reported that Barbara had her purse stolen. Even worse, their shenanigans are creating headlines in the country. One tabloid featured a story about the two running naked, Borat style, down the hallway of their hotel, according to ABC. Now, I don't know. I mean, would they be doing that? I can't imagine. But anyway, that's what's being reported. Security problems continue, according to ABC. Thursday night, an ABC news producer was able to walk into their hotel unchecked and engage Barbara Bush in conversation while she checked her email on a computer in the lobby. Jenna sat talking with friends on a sofa nearby. No Secret Service agents were anywhere to be seen in the lobby, according to ABC News. But no, Barbara and Jenna aren't cut and runners. Sources tell ABC News the twins plan to stick to their original itinerary and stay in Buenos Aires until Thursday, following in the spirit of their father. No cutting and running from these two girls. They are going to stay the course in Argentina, where the press is reporting their shenanigans, which allegedly include running down the hallway of their hotel with no clothes on, naked. I can't imagine that they would do that. They'd have to be pretty loaded to do that one, but who knows? You may want to comment on these Bush girls who, as far as we can tell, have not added anything at all to the level of discourse, or even tried to help those, in, as the phrase used to go, less fortunate. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And in the holiday season, which we are in the thick of, if you are in a rush to do your shopping, and any of you foolish enough, you can admit this, you don't have to use your right name, were any of you foolish enough to line up at 4 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning for these bargains where they tell you it's limited quantities, and it really is? Like sometimes there are only two of them or three. Maybe there's even only just one. And people are in line for these deeply discounted items, whatever they may be. Is it worth it? Well, we're in sort of a frenzy, a consumer frenzy. We're getting into that moment where we are going to be out of our minds buying and consuming. But in any event, if you're too much of a hurry to go shopping for Christmas gifts, you might pay a heavier price this holiday season than you imagined, and that would be in traffic court. It turns out that there are all kinds of violations that will not only cost you dearly for the citation. But who knows what it's going to do to raise your insurance rates if your insurance companies get wind of it. So if you are breaking the 65-mile-per-hour limit on the freeway and you're not going any faster than 15 miles per hour over the speed limit, you know how much it's going to cost you? I'm going to give you some numbers here. I want you to think about this. As you are on your ride home tonight, it'll cost you $127. But if you are doing more than 26 miles per hour over the speed limit, the base fine in Sacramento County jumps to $371. The state's basic speed law, by the way, as you may know, transcends the posted speed limit on the street. So you're not supposed to drive a vehicle at a speed greater than is reasonable or prudent, having due regard for weather. So if it's heavy fog or if it's really bad weather, here's the story. You could get a ticket for driving the posted limit. The amount drivers must pay if they run a red light has increased to $371. That's another of the top 10 most frequent citations issued in the county. If you run a stop sign, it's $161. If you aren't using your seatbelt, if you failed to use your seatbelt, $99. And if you are caught in the carpool lane by yourself, $371. And they pull you over, they find out that you shouldn't even be behind the wheel because you're not driving with a valid license, add $297 to that one. If you're driving on a suspended or revoked license, add another $551 to the tally. And if you don't have valid insurance, add another $711. If you're silly enough to drive while loaded, if you're driving under the influence, your first DUI will cost almost $2,000, $1,985 in Sacramento County. That's because that violation has 11 supplemental fees and assessments tacked onto the base fine. And God knows what it will do to your insurance rates. And if you are, if you pass a vehicle that has stopped for a pedestrian, it's going to cost you $350. It'll cost you $134 if you're talking on a cell phone while driving a school or transit bus. And whatever you do, don't transport radioactive materials without the right license, because if you do, that's $17,500 right there. So remember, as you are going about your holiday and the run-up to the holiday and your holiday business, just drive carefully, and particularly when weather conditions are not so wonderful, because you may be going to posted limit, but if the weather conditions are not good, if it's foggy, if it's slippery, if it's awful, you could still get a ticket. 349-1320, 866-626. 1320. I want to shift the conversation here to a story that caught my attention. And we really haven't talked a lot about politics, although I have to tell you that there was a memo found that tells us that Rumsfeld did know about Abu Ghraib and the torture, and he sanctioned it. But I will get there eventually. There was, under the headline, "No Good Deed Goes Unpunished," this is a story that I thought was really interesting. A church wanted to do something special for Hurricane Katrina victims. And what they did is they interviewed a lot of people who were victims of Katrina. They settled on the one couple. They decided that they wanted to buy this couple a house. And the couple went out with a real estate agent, found the house that they wanted. They were going to, you know, set up life in Memphis. They had escaped from New Orleans. And the church deeded the house over to them. The church members bought that house wanting to help these people get a new start in life. The house was $75,000. They never even moved in, this family, this couple. Instead, they flipped the house, got $88,000 for it, and hightailed it back to New Orleans. You have some thoughts about that. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Now, the church said this is a gift. This is a gift to you. So if it's a gift, you can do whatever you want with it, right? But at the same time, the church said, look, we've interviewed the right people. This is the right couple. We're giving you this house. I think the expectation was you were going to stay there, and the church could feel good about itself because it could help people start a whole new life, a brand new house, and so on. But the couple didn't even move in. The family did not move in. Instead, they flipped the house. The church paid $75,000 for it. The family paid nothing for it, as far as I understand. but they flipped it for $88,000. So the church has hoped to do something for the family consisting of a house worth $75,000. Instead, they actually did $88,000 worth for that family, and the family hightailed it back to New Orleans. The church, of course, feels like it's been used, but if the idea was to give a gift, it gave a gift. It gave a gift that actually appreciated, appreciated what, 10, 15 or so thousand dollars from the original purchase price. What are your thoughts about that? Was there a certain amount of duplicity? I think it does have a bad odor about it. The church wanted to give a gift. It gave a gift that actually appreciated right under its nose, but not quite the way that it thought it was giving the gift. Maybe when you give a gift, you have no control over it when it leaves your hands. Would that be a fair assessment? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. But, you know, the people that it gave a gift to sounded to me like scam artists, in a way. They were dishonest. They said they were going to move in, so they lied. They said they were going to move into the house. They didn't do it. Instead, they left. And the church, you know, interviewed a lot of families to see who would be the best match, and these people sort of won the church lotto, and then they sort of used the church too. So it's sort of an interesting story, and in the Thanksgiving season, it doesn't smack of much gratitude. One of the big conversations as we come into the holiday season, and I mentioned it briefly when we began the show, is whether or not it's ethical and proper and ethically correct to recycle a gift. If you've been given a gift, and it's not going to work for you, but it could work for somebody else, is there any reason not to re-give it? Most people re-gift. They've done studies on this. A lot of people will re-gift it. A lot of people, though, forget to take out the original card. So right away, you've let people know that you have recycled the gift. So that's not the smart thing to do. But 52% of Americans admit to re-gifting. 78% say that it is acceptable some or most of the time. If it's brand new, I don't have a problem with it. If you've used it and you want to say to people, you know, this was mine and I can't use it anymore, but it will look good on you, here, do you want it? That's one thing. But to re-gift as something new when it's been used, no, that wouldn't be a good thing to do. But if someone gave you something new and you never used it, and you're not giving it just to give, but you're giving it because you think it'll be a good fit, I don't think that there's a problem with it. But I wonder what you think about that, because now it's a big topic of conversation. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And people like Emily Post and the Post Institute agree that regifting is fine if it is done, as 77% in a survey that they took said they did, because the gift was perfect for the person they gave it to. Well, sometimes we rationalize that and we say, oh, you know, I don't feel like buying anything. Here, take this velveteen picture of JFK because I know you're going to love it. It's going to look great in your brand new modern house. But people run into trouble when they regift for other reasons. Not enough money, 30%, ran out of time, 15%, laziness, 9%, dislike of the person, 4%. So they give them the ugliest gift in the world. This person reports that her tennis coach was on the receiving end of that kind of regifting. When he and his wife married, he invited cousins who lived across country that the coach had flown to their wedding. The cousin did not come and instead sent a somewhat cheap picnic set with wine glasses. Included was a card, but not to the tennis coach. It was a congratulatory note to the cousin on his marriage, a clear sign of a regift. When sending a thank you note, the tennis pro and his wife included the wayward card to the cousin, and the two have not spoken since. Did you get a regift that was an obvious regift with somebody else's name and card in it? What did you do when that happened? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the run-up to the holiday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West. Thank you very much. Slow traffic. Now, we do have, now I found out why we have a problem over there on westbound 50 Watt Avenue and Howe Avenue. We have a gravel truck that has been overturned, backing traffic up all the way to Bradshaw. And it looks like we do have a big rig that has done the same, I-5 and a J Street, slowing things down over there as well. Eastbound 50 to Harbor Boulevard, there's a three-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
The conversation just got smarter. It's Enid Live on AM 1320
Sacramento's Left Channel.
The only right...
New rule number one, no more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things and going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet, that is you and me. You idiot internet. Tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. Talk to Enid now. 349-1320.
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mama. I think the whole world's addicted to the drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring you trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism. But we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA. The blood of the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have...
24 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about a lot of different things. As usual, we're talking about whether or not it's okay or proper to re-gift. If you've been given a gift, a lot of people do it. Most of us do it. I think if the gift is new, it's fine, but it's not so fine if the original card was in there to the person who's giving it to you, and then you know that you came in 10th in their sweepstakes. So if you have any great regifting stories, I'd like to hear from you. I also want to share this story with you on a completely different subject, but this is sort of breaking news. Bill Lockyer, the state has flip-flopped on a... Remember, Prop 83 was passed, and that's a sex offender law. Well, it went into sort of legal limbo because there was a court challenge to it, and the state of California said that it wasn't going to be applied retroactively. So in other words, if you were a sex offender and you this happened 20 years ago, you have been a member of the community in fine standing, you have a home, it happens to be closer than 2,000 feet to a school or some other sort of facility that now is outlawed in Prop 83, which will now drive people to the rural areas because you can almost not avoid being that close to a school. They were saying it wasn't going to be applied retroactively. Now the state has reversed itself, and it is going to be applied retroactively. The state abruptly changed its position today on the meaning of a voter-approved law that restricts where sex criminals may live, telling a federal judge that the law would bar any of California's more than 90,000 registered sex offenders from moving to a home within 2,000 feet of a park or a school. The U.S. District Judge said that he felt a little bit ambushed by the shift by Attorney General Bill Lockyer, who had stated in writing less than 2 weeks ago that Prop 83 would not apply retroactively. Now, this is really sort of a heartbreaking thing because there is one story of a guy who's 77 years old. You know, he's kind of a geezerly presence in the community. He had a sex offender situation some decades previous. Everybody knows it in the neighborhood. Everybody, he shuffles off to the neighborhood convenience store. But his home, where he has lived for all these decades, is within that 2,000-foot requirement, and he doesn't know what he's going to do. So now, and that was elsewhere, but now California has said that this law is going to be retroactive. It's not just since the law was passed. You bought a home, you live somewhere, maybe you have a job, and you want to live in a place that's conducive to get you to your job because you want to support your life and be a dues-paying member of the community. Well, suddenly, something that haunted you, and I don't know if you ever listened to, I love listening to him, I shouldn't plug a competitor, but Len Tillum is terrific. He is, he's got all these, he's a lawyer, and he's in the stories that people call him with are amazing. And one person called in. Oh, a mom. She called in and she said her son was, 20 or so. And he went online on the internet and he meets a girl who says that she's 18, so she's of age. But she's really 17. And they meet and I don't know quite what happens, but he's a little immature for his age. And anyway, she reports him as a sex offender because she's underage, he's overage. He's like 19. Or 20, and she's 17, and the mother thinks that maybe doing some jail time will be good for the kid because he's been immature. I'm not so sure jail time is good for anybody, but in any event, that's what her thinking was, which is maybe why the kid is kind of screwed up anyhow. But he now, for the rest of his life, must register as a sex offender. He did not rape her, I don't think. I forget how the story went, but he did not rape her. It was a series of whatever, and he thought she was 18, and it was something that got out of hand to hear the mother tell it. Maybe it was more than that, but let's just take her word for it for the moment. He will now be a sex offender for the rest of his life, and it will follow him for the rest of his life. Now, you can envision a situation where an 18, 19-year-old boy gets involved with a 17-year-old girl, a 16-year-old girl, and maybe we all saw that in high school from time to time. Maybe we saw that in college. Maybe we just have seen that. Now it can be alleged that you're a sex offender, and if it's an underage situation, if anybody's an attorney, if you're just underaged, I don't know, I mean, what... If you have sex, if it's consensual, does it still put you as a sex offender? If the person, one of the partners is underage, is it still, anyway, this boy is going to be marked for life as a sex offender. So now California is saying, with the passage of Prop 83, and it's an issue nationally because, I'll tell you why it's an issue nationally, because you can hardly avoid living 2,000 feet from a park or a school. So it means these people are going to be pushed into rural venues, rural environments, where there's not enough law enforcement, where they're not equipped, where it's, and you want them to be able to have jobs. You don't want them to go reoffending because they've been drummed out of where they can live and work in some decent commuting ratio. So here is Bill Lockyer. State law requires anyone convicted of a sex crime to register with local police once a year and also after any change of address. And, you know, this is all online. So if people are really nervous about living in the neighborhood, it can really, it's a complicated issue, I know. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. David in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, David.
Hi, Enid. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Hey, your story reminded me of a story I heard just a few weeks ago. Another state, I believe it was on the NPR, but this was even worse than the one you just said. It was a man who had, when he was 17, or eight, I guess he was 18, his girlfriend was 17 or 16, and same thing happened. They ended up getting married and have two kids, and he has to register as a sex offender. He can't even pick his own kids up from school because for the rest of his life he's going to have to register as a sex offender.
But who turned him in? If she married him...
Right. Well, it was one of the situations. I mean, it was kind of like what you mentioned, where there was like a falling out, and one of the parents evidently, called the cops because found out that they had somehow found out that he had been with their daughter, and there was some shame in that, I guess. And so, yes, I believe that's the way it happened, or it might have been that they were caught. I'm not recalling exactly. They might have been caught by the police in a car or something like that. I think that was it. And then,
if it's consensual on her part and she's underage, does that count? Or can you not, since you are below the age of consent, you cannot therefore by definition have consensual sex if you're underage. Is that correct?
Well,
would that be a fair... I'm just guessing at that. Anybody who's an attorney, I'd like to hear from you on this. But if you're under the age of consent, then you can't give consent, can you?
As far as I know, you can. And this was a different state, so I'm doing it from memory, but you just jogged my memory with the story. And he's saying that he's gone to legislatures and different Congress people, and nobody will touch it because of the stigma of a campaign ad coming out saying so-and-so tried to change the reporting laws and soft on sex crimes, and you can just kind of sort of imagine it. But I think we've just gone so far.
I think we're crazy. I think we're so busy thinking about child abuse as we abuse our own children by pretty much neglecting them and warehousing them in daycare centers for the first 7 years of their life. So I think what we're doing is kind of projecting, as a shrink might say. But I thank you, David, for the call. Thanks for the story. Does anybody know how this works? In the New York Times today, this is a front page story. Here's a sign that is in one town. It says, notice, this area has been deemed by a child safety zone by this Franklin Township Committee pursuant to ordinance such and such. Offenders required to register pursuant to Megan's Law, and they're prohibited from loitering in this area. So pursuant to this ordinance and pursuant to Megan's Law, this is in New Jersey. So recreation areas are off limits to convicted sex offenders. So does this mean if you're a sex offender, you can't go into a park, you can't go into a recreational area? Now, presumably, they don't want you in parks because that's where kids are and they don't want you picking up kids. But the man identified in court documents as AB does not talk to his neighbors or tarry at the convenience store. He's 77 years old, soft-spoken, sometimes confused. He hardly ever leaves the little ranch house he bought in 1969. People know what's what with me, he says. What's what with AB is that he moved back here last year after serving 7 years in prison for sexually molesting two grandchildren and another youngster. And because his home is in a child safety zone recently drawn by the township, he may be forced to leave it. So then what happens? Does he go onto the public dole? Do we pay for this? But the Public Defender's Office in New Jersey, a state government agency, filed suit against the township on his behalf last month, claiming that the ordinance not only violates his right to due process, but also conflicts with the state law requiring that parole offenders decide where registered sex offenders live. So that's how they're going to handle it. 349-1320. Gina in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Gina.
Hi, Enid. When I was out going door-to-door knocking during the campaigns, I ran into a young man who had this exact same situation. And there's a couple of things that really bother me about this. One is, you know, I'm a mother with three kids myself, and this is not helping me keep my kids safe from sexual offenders. This muddies the water, so I don't know who to keep them safe from. I'm not afraid that the 18-year-old, 19-year-old boy who had a 17-year-old girl is going to attack my children.
Well, I think there's no distinction made. That's the thing. Anybody who's an attorney, I would like to hear about this, but if you can fall within a certain purview here of the law, and you were a 19-year-old getting it on with a 17-year-old, you could risk becoming branded a sexual offender and have to register for the rest of your life. Can you imagine what that does to your job possibilities?
Well, yeah, that's what this kid, he invited me into his home, and I was sitting there talking with him, and the woman
What was his story?
He was going with her. He was like 19 or 20, and she was 17. And evidently, her parents turned him in, and so he served 5 years of probation for, you know, statutory rape, which means that you've got an underage girlfriend. And they're now married. They have two children, and he's having a really hard time getting a job. He's had harassing people come to his doors and stuff. I mean, you know, 20 years ago. If you were 20 years old and you had a 17-year-old girlfriend, that was no big deal. I've got a 17-year-old son who happens to have a 20-year-old girlfriend. You know, nobody thinks anything about it.
She could be branded a sex offender.
Yeah, and she would have to register as a sexual offender for the rest of her life. I would go and look it up on Megan Plante.
She could never.
Oh, I can't live next door to this person.
Well, not only that, but she could never, if she was ever planning to be a school teacher, she could never do that.
None of that stuff, yeah. It's really stupid because I want to protect my children. I want to know who are the really bad guys that I need to protect them from, not these. I mean, it's just really gone overboard.
Well, I agree with you, Gina, and what did you say to that young man when you were talking to him?
I told him to get involved and try to get somebody else elected that might listen to him because.
Were you stumping for Charlie Brown?
Yes, I was. And you know, and what the other caller said about, I'm sure there's no way that Charlie Brown, especially going against Doolittle, could you see him coming out and saying, "Yeah, I think that we ought to protect."
No, you cannot say this. It's a political hot potato. Everybody said, and all the newspapers when it came to Prop 83 said, "Don't vote for it." And people are so unnerved by sexual crimes that they went for it anyway, even though it was going to be a tremendous problem afterward. And that is exactly what's happened. The state of California has already done one flip-flop. It said it wouldn't be retroactive. Now it's saying that it would be. You have somebody, you've got this situation in New Jersey where the guy's 77 years old. He's out of it half the time. He's been living in the house since 1969, and that's the end of it for him if this continues to be enforced. So, and when you're talking about a 19-year-old and a 17-year-old or a 17 and a 20-year-old, I mean, this is really, I think we've gone nuts. We've never had a good handle on sex, and this just proves it. Gina, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320. If anybody's an attorney, I want to hear from you on this and some cases that you've had, some heads up. And if it's a 17-year-old and an 18-year-old, what about that? What can happen? I mean, these are cautionary tales. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Slow-moving traffic. We are at westbound 50. It's backed up and already hit the news, and it's just huge. I guess a gravel truck is all over. Stop back all the way up to Bradshaw Road. Now, I-5 and J Street, I don't believe it's any better, and there is no gravel on the road. Over there, a three-car crash on the right-hand side at I-5 southbound. I-5 has stopped traffic over there as well. We have a hit-and-run at Creekside Drive and Bidwell Street stopping traffic, Dan. And another hit-and-run, looks like westbound 50, just west of North Bend Watt Avenue, off the on-ramp, right there by all the gravel situation that we have going on. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The people have spoken. It's radio in the left zone. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, I'm George Zimmer.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right.
The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's Tara. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Live. Enid Live continues on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Monday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Of course, the big news, and we've been talking about so many other things, is that NBC News today began referring to the Iraq conflict as a civil war. So it is the big news, adopting a phrase that President Bush and many other news organizations have avoided. Matt Lauer said on the Today Show that after careful consideration, NBC News has decided that a change in terminology is warranted. Well, thank goodness, and where have they been? It's been a civil war for quite a while, don't you think? We're talking about Prop 83. We're talking about the fact that California has flipped on Prop 83, and they're deciding to make it, the state has made it, the Lockyer now has decided that the new sex offender law should in fact be retroactive. We're having some kind of some phone problems, and okay. Let's go to the lines and to Eddie from Elk Grove. Hi, Eddie. You're live with Enid.
Hi. You know, I looked at the Omega's Law database because, you know, parents in the area, so they use feeders. There's sex offenders in your neighborhood. You look them up, and yeah, they're in their neighborhood, but it doesn't really tell you much about what the crime was. It doesn't even give you a date, so you don't know how old the offender was when this occurred. So everyone thinks of sex offenders, they immediately think of child molester, and they're totally different things. Well, not totally, but they are not necessarily the same thing.
That's right. That's right. So you're saying, I've never gone to any of these databases, but you have, you're saying, and it doesn't tell you how old the offense is, and it doesn't tell you what it is. It only says what? Sex offender?
It would say, like, lewd offense with a minor.
Okay.
But that could be someone, you know, relieving themselves and a kid walks by. I mean, there's not enough information there.
Okay. All right. I see what you're saying. So what would you do in a case like this?
Well, in which cases are you talking about?
Well, we're talking about the fact that now California and other places are saying, California specifically is saying that this is not a retroactive, or that this is law is going to be retroactive. So if you were convicted, the example given in today's New York Times, not in California, New Jersey, is a 77-year-old guy who's out of it, in and out of it. Since 1969, he has been living in a ranch house that now is within this area that you can't live in, just like California. You can't be 2,000 feet from park or a school. So what do you do in a case like that? What are we going to do? And what are we going to do with similar people who are like that in California?
Well, first of all, I can't believe any law can be made retroactive. That's just terrible.
Well, now Bill Lockyer is saying that the new sex offender law should be retroactive, and a judge is going to rule on the new interpretation of Prop 83. Now, maybe they're going to put it in the arms of the judiciary because politicians, it's too much of a hot potato for politicians.
You know, that is probably what's going to have to happen because no politician can ever come out against. We are so sex-obsessed, we don't know what to do about it.
I know.
A politician can make a logical, reasoned decision on that.
Well, I thank you very much for the call, Eddie. And if you have some thoughts about it, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Let's head over to Jen from SAC. Hi, Jen. You're live with Enid on AM 1320.
How you doing, Enid?
Doing well.
Okay, really quick. You know, I think it's really, I agree with you. I think it's really disgusting how we've just gone haywire and treated these people as if they are lower than humans, and they are not. Yes, some of them have made mistakes, but I just want to point out, anyone that is concerned about their children being in a park and then being grabbed by a perpetrator should recognize that they need to be responsible in watching their children, and they don't have to worry about it. I have a minor child. She's never been to the park by herself because she doesn't need to go to the park.
How old is she?
My daughter now is 16 years old. But when she was a small child, I took her to the park, and I watched her. And that's what these parents don't want to do, unfortunately, or the caregivers, is watch their children and make sure that they don't get harmed. I mean, there's other things besides predators. They could accidentally get hit by a car. They could fall off a swing and bust their head open. There's all kinds of things, and people need to be responsible.
I agree with you, but at the same time, I have to tell you about all the long summer's days that we all played in the park. But I think it was, it was a small town. It was a different time. And, you know, there wasn't a pervert hiding behind every bush.
Well, and that's true, but then, too, there aren't a lot of perverts hiding behind the bushes. If they want to really do something, then work with the people that have been accused. Well, first of all, they need to separate. If a young man was with a girl and he's 18 and she's 17, they need to knock that off. That is not being a child predator or molester.
But if a parent doesn't like the guy, and the parent can call the law in and say this was inappropriate and he took advantage of my daughter, and that's it for him.
Right, and that's what needs to change first and foremost. They need to stop that because that's ridiculous.
Well, I agree with you, but it really poisons the well. I mean, if you are just an 18, 19, 20-year-old guy, what do you know about anything? You really know. Nobody knows anything about it at 18, 19, 20, with all due respect to my younger listeners. You can get into the soup without realizing it.
Right. Well, I mean, just think in terms of all young men that can fall prey to some of the girls that may be, they want to be with the guy, and then the guy says, no, I really don't want to, and then they lie on the guy. That happens too. They'll tell their parents, oh, he did this to me. I mean, that's gone on through time, that people have done dishonest things, and other people have had to pay the price for it. And we need to put a
Well, I this wholesale moving of people who live, first of all, there are very few places you can live that aren't 2,000 feet from a park or a school. And so it's pushing people into a rural environment where they're probably not equipped in terms of law enforcement and resources to handle it. It is uprooting people who may have finally come to a stable place in their lives, and they're earners, they're earning, they're
right,
supporting themselves and whomever else they need to support. And, to sell your place, and particularly now, let's say you own a place, the housing market is soft in a lot of places.
Right. And sometimes they even take the properties from them. I mean, it's just really bad. It's just another form of what we call racism. It's just a way to separate and use people to have a way to mistreat someone, to take advantage of someone, whether it's someone that had a criminal past, but you still isolate them in hopes that they will continue to do the deed again and then go back and forth to prison, and that generates more money for the prison system. And that's what it is.
I thank you for the call, Jen. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We're talking about Bill Lockyer. This is breaking news. Says that the new sex offender law should be retroactive. It's a flip for the state of California. If you're an attorney and you've handled some of these cases, I would like to hear from you. I'd like to know You know, I think this is going to be decided in the courts, and it's such a hot button. What politician wants to modify a sex offender law? I mean, it's just too, it's lethal for any politician to get in there and to try to do it right. But, you know, if you think about it, if you are a 20-year-old guy or a 19-year-old guy, or vice versa, if you're a 19-year-old woman, young woman, girl, and you're getting it on with a guy who's 17, and it's not unheard of that that happens, you, the woman, could be a sex offender if the whole relation headed south and if his parents were upset about it, thought you were like a cradle robber or something. And if you wanted to be a school teacher, if you wanted to do anything, this follows you. How do you get a job when you are branded a sex offender? So if you are an attorney, have you had a case like this? What does the law say about it? This is apparently going to be decided in the courts. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Mike from SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well.
You have a question about this new draconian law they're trying to enforce, huh? just my opinion. I had a client, an old client from about 20 years ago, call me about 6 months ago, and he lived in Georgia, and they just passed a similar law there. And
you're an attorney.
Pardon?
You're an attorney.
Yes.
Okay.
And he said the law enforcement was forcing him to sell his home. And he wanted to, I'd handled his case previously, and he wanted to see if there was some way to get it expunged or taken off to where he didn't have to register anymore. What a lot of people aren't aware is that you can be required to register at the discretion of the court. I've had clients that were involved in child abuse cases where they didn't do anything wrong themselves, but maybe their boyfriend or a girlfriend actually did something to a child, and they were forced to register as a sex offender. You have guys, college guys that got drunk and went out and run around naked and would just get seen naked running around goofing off.
In Argentina, the two Bush twins have been accused by the local newspapers of running naked in their hotel, the hallway of their hotel. They'd have to register those two as sex offenders?
Well, you know, under the current state of the law in California, that kind of an exposure, indecent exposure, is registrable. In fact, it is mandatory registration recently.
You mean, yeah. if you just flash somewhere, remember that streaker, was it at the Academy Awards or someplace? There was a streaker. Would that person have to register as a sex offender?
Oh, well, up until recently it was discretionary, and pretty much most of that discretion is taken out now. But, you know, there's a lot of people that really aren't dangerous in any fashion to a stranger. Even your more serious sex offenses that there certainly are people that are predators. It's an extremely small number of the people that are registered.
That's right. And, all right, take me back to the example you gave at the beginning. You're a couple. There's a boy, there's a girl. The girl doesn't do anything. The boy does something, but the girl has to register as a sex offender?
No.
Okay,
no.
I misunderstood.
Okay, the way I didn't give you that example. That's one you were talking about previously.
Okay.
But the way the law is now, there is still discretion in whether or not in those type of cases that you have to make the person register. I've represented, 19 and 20-year-old kids that were involved sexually with females below their age.
So if a girl is under 17 or under 18, even if she consents, she's below the age of consent, it doesn't count. Is that right?
Well, the consent is, there is no consent if she's under 18.
If she's under 18, it doesn't matter if she consents. In terms of the law, there is no consent.
Her behavior is irrelevant.
Okay.
So, or his behavior if the person was over 18, even teachers.
All right, we need to take a break, but tell me very quickly, once you're branded a sex offender, can you ever get it expunged?
It takes a pardon, typically, to get it expunged. In most cases, it takes a pardon. There is a couple of procedures you can go through, and there hasn't been a pardon in California in 100 years.
Yeah, who wants to pardon? What politician seeking higher office, like Schwartz, Mr. Sex Offender himself, is going to issue a pardon?
It won't happen. It hasn't happened from any governor that I can remember for a sex offense.
Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate the information. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday. I keep wanting to say Thursday. It feels like Thursday. Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Slow, slow moving traffic. 50 westbound and Watt Avenue all the way to Bradshaw Road. That gravel truck has really done a pickle over there. We have also, on the way to Roseville, their I-80 just past Madison Avenue exit. We have a three-car crash as well. And, well, that's just about it, I believe. I think the gravel truck's got us all peeved. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The truth, according to Enid, will set you free. Call her now at 349-1320.
What's yours?
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now... I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.